supposedly low IQ to explain that the Israeli intelligence assessment, even though the IDF disagreed, by the way.
Israeli politician, leader, Naftali Bennett, explaining Israel's next step. Here's where they're going next. Watch.
A new Turkish threat is emerging. I want to be very clear. Turkey and Qatar have gained influence in Syria, are seeking influence elsewhere and everywhere throughout the region. And from here, I warn, Turkey is the new Iran. Erdogan is sophisticated, dangerous, and he seeks to encircle Israel. We can't close our eyes again.
He's sophisticated and dangerous. It's hardly an endorsement of Erdogan, or Erdogan, the Turkish leader, hardly an endorsement of him to say, when Bennett says he's dangerous, what he really means is he's sovereign. We can't tell him what to do. We don't fully control him. We can influence him, and it's clear that Israel and Turkey did have some kind of relationship in the overthrow of Bashar al-Assad in Syria last year, just to guess. But the real problem with Turkey is that it can't be controlled, so it is therefore a threat to Israel. And again, not attacking Israel. That's true.
Immediate, full, and unconditional withdrawal from all occupied Lebanese territories. Sustainable calm requires the full implementation of Security Council Resolution 1701 and unwavering respect for Lebanon's sovereignty and territorial integrity along the blue line.
Israel is not just controlling our foreign policy. They're trying to get full control of the media, even more control of domestic policy to ensure on their flank their takeover of the Middle East and to make sure we join them in this. So this is the new world war being set up. We were supposed to pivot to deal with China. Nope, sorry. Israel says China can do whatever it wants. You work for us. It's a big deal. And if you talk about it, well, you're just anti-Jewish. What? Tucker is absolutely right. This is how big empires operate, and Israel is acting like an empire because it controls, to a great extent, the United States. They've got polls in Israel. The majority of Israelis want a greater Israel. They want half of Lebanon. They want large pieces of the rest of the Middle East. And if they think they can go take it, well, then, you know, that's up to them. But we should not pay for it, and we shouldn't die for it. And so Tucker Carlson recently came out and said that Turkey and Lebanon are next. That's because not just Netanyahu's party, but the other major parties, the other two conservative parties that make up the majority together, they're openly giving speeches. I played them a few weeks ago here saying yes. They're even trying to start selling advanced real estate speculative contracts on once it's taken over, who will get first dibs on it. And so they're carpet bombing Christians in Lebanon, 30 plus thousand homes destroyed. And when you tune into the Christian, you know, Zionist channels that are the dominant channels on cable, there's not a damn word about this, except Huckabee got asked about it a month ago by Tucker saying, so according to your interpretation of Genesis, Israel can have the whole Middle East. And he said, yes, just take it all. You want to see the clip again?
It is entirely fair for me with respect to ask, what land are you talking about? Because I just read Genesis 15, as I have many times. Mm-hmm. And that land, I think it says, from the Nile to the Euphrates, which is, once again, basically the entire Middle East. So God gave that land to his people, the Jews, or he didn't. You're saying he did. What does that mean? Does Israel have the right to that land? Because you're appealing to Genesis.
Yeah.
You're saying that's the original deed.
It would be fine if they took it all.
Okay. So you go take it all then. And that, I've seen Netanyahu's deputy and the leaders of the other parties say on Fox News, Turkey is the new enemy after we take down Iran. Well, it's got the biggest conventional military in NATO. And they just worked with Turkey, Israel did a year and a half ago, right before Trump got in, to take down Assad and put Al-Qaeda in. So it's a disgusting mess. It's a black hole. It's totally...
If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone, you know. Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones store is doing with their product line. So check it out. TheAlexJonesStore.com, Ultra Methylene Red.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday, the 21st of April, 2026. We got a lot of stories to cover. Mostly because we didn't cover any stories yesterday. We talked endlessly about The Onion lying about buying us, having to disprove them in live time. They don't own us, they don't own the studios, and it's likely that they never will. But I got a big old stack of news from yesterday. I also prepared a report yesterday that I wasn't able to get to about the way that Christians are treated in Israel after this big hullabaloo about the image of a Israeli soldier smashing a statue of Christ went totally viral. And we had a lot of, and of course Netanyahu came out talking about it, and a few times they've come out recently and presented themselves as the protectors of Christians. We'll go over that pretty thoroughly. And we got just a bunch of news to talk about across the board here, and just talking about the reaction to the statement from The Onion about taking us over, and just the general suicide of the Republican Party, sort of the last gasp hope of any ability to reclaim the United States. We'll get into all of it. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 21st of April, 2026. U.S. delegation set to leave for Islamabad as Iran's ceasefire nears expiration. This is a little bit weird. Basically, Iran has said they're not going to negotiate, and so Trump is saying they're going to send people to Islamabad, but nobody's going to be there to meet them. And J.D. Vance has been withdrawn from the delegation, apparently. A U.S. delegation is expected to depart Tuesday for a second round of face-to-face peace talks with Iran in Islamabad. As the fate of the two-week ceasefire remains unclear, Iran has yet to confirm its attendance, instead warning that it is prepared to unveil new cards on the battlefield. The ceasefire is set to expire Wednesday. And we'll get back to that in just a little bit. Meanwhile, in the U.K., smoking will now be banned for anybody born after the year 2008. Smoking will be banned for anyone born after 2008 as landmark legislation clears Parliament. Children aged 17 or under will face a lifelong ban on buying cigarettes in a landmark bill which hopes to make a smoke-free generation. The Tobacco and Vapes Bill passed through Parliament today and will make it illegal for anyone born after 2008 to buy tobacco from a shop. Because if there's one thing that the UK government is hyper concerned with, it's the health and well-being of their people. No, there's got to be something else. Nicotine's got to be good for you. The only thing I can glean from this is there's something about nicotine that must be good for specifically white people. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. I have no scientific basis to back this up. All I know is if they really wanted to help the health of the UK people, they would deport like 15 million illegal immigrants. So NHS would actually function properly and be funded and not have to spend all this money taking care of random foreigners. They wouldn't be so concerned about nicotine. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about nicotine that scares these people. All I know is That's basically where I'm at this point. If they say not to do something, all I know is that it's got to be good for white people. That's everything they do is dictated by what is bad for white people. So this is the obvious conclusion to come to. Meanwhile, Southern Poverty Law Center says it faces DOJ probe over paid informants. The Southern Poverty Law Center, a storied organization, they say. Yeah, I guess it's storied. I mean, kind of like how they're stories about serial killers. Yes, they're storied in a way. A storied organization founded to promote racial justice in the South said it's facing a Justice Department investigation, including possible criminal charges over its past use of paid informants to infiltrate extremist groups. The civil rights organization revealed the probe in a video message from its CEO, Brian Fair, who said prosecutors appear to be preparing legal action against some of its employees. So it'll be exciting to see that go nowhere. I just don't believe it. You know, I've got another story here from yesterday about Act Blue being charged now. Attorney General Ken Paxton says, I just filed a landmark lawsuit against Act Blue for deceiving Americans by lying about its donation process that allow fraudulent and foreign donations. See, Act Blue, just like SPLC, is one of these Democrat operations. They don't abide by the law. They aren't subject to the law like you and I are. It's been known for years at this point that Act Blue solicits massive donations from unknown people and then divides that money up into small amounts that it then says is being sent by individuals who people like James O'Keefe have gone, investigated this, asked the people, did you send money to Act Blue? And they say, no, I never have, even though the Act Blue receipts say that they've spent $20,000 in the last year to Act Blue. And they're like, no, I've never written a single check, or I wrote one check 5 years ago, but that's all I've submitted. That's obviously illegal. So why is it now that it's been several years after this was proven on camera with the interviews of the people who were claimed to have submitted all this money, now we're filing a lawsuit? And do we expect it to go anywhere? See, if this was a normal country, Act Blue would have already been totally destroyed. It would have been shut down and everybody involved would have been arrested by now, because they just obviously broke the law. SPLC is the same thing. You know, SPLC had paid informants in the group that, like, Timothy McVeigh was in ahead of the Oklahoma City bombing. Why wasn't SPLC declared a cooperating, you know, terrorist entity at that point? They don't abide by laws. They aren't subject to laws. So this, you know, we'll see, I guess. But does anybody want to put money? Because I'm willing to bet that Act Blue and SPLC will be totally unscathed at the end of this. I mean, they are two of some of the biggest organizations deliberately destroying our country and been doing so for decades, and they should have been shut down a long time ago. Even if just things like the SPLC, you know, hate watch list or whatever it was, where they would put churches or family planning clinics on there that would then get bombed. I mean, they are actual legitimate terrorists, but they've been operating this way for decades and nothing's going to happen to them. So that's just the way it goes, because this is what we're learning. This is what we're being forced to understand. This is what's being driven into our reality at this point. Some people are subject to laws that other people aren't. Okay. It's just, this is just the way it goes. All right. Now, if you are a Republican and you take $1 over whatever specific limit it is, you bet your ass they're going to drag you down and make you pay. If instead you're Act Blue and you literally have a systematic, like a program that dishonestly labels millions upon millions of dollars for the purpose of facilitating foreign funds into American political battles, then you're fine. Nothing happens to you. You can just do that forever. Likewise, our next story in the Daily Dispatch, Minnesota Public High School adds prayer room and foot washing station in their renovation plans. Because just like Democrats are not subject to political law, Muslims are not subject to the First Amendment. We don't have a separation of church and state when it comes to the Muslims, or the Jews for that matter. It's only Christianity. They will invoke separation of church and state to stop you from having the Ten Commandments in the classroom, but they will also build an entire wing specifically for the Muslims to wash their dirty feet. Great. That's great. Turns out when the woke left says they want freedom of religion, they really are just trying to keep Christ out of school. You can literally like switch out freedom of religion and Christ with any other instance you care to bring to mind. They don't actually care about any of it, ever. They just don't. They're on their side, and they're using our values, warping, perverting, distorting, extending them to destroy us. It's very simple. It's not even a matter of like hypocrisy. They don't believe in a separation of church and state. They have their own religion that they demand that the government support, pay for, believe in, enforce by law. There's no hypocrisy there. There's not even like cognitive dissonance there. They just don't believe the things they say. They're just lying. They're just lying. They don't actually care. They'll invoke freedom of religion to screw you over, just like they'll invoke rule of law or, any other thing they claim to believe in. Whenever it's convenient, don't trust them. Is this really that hard to understand? I mean, honestly, is anybody in the world just now learning that this is the case? Because y'all, it's been this way for a very, very, very long time. Again, I can't help but just use the same like metaphor or whatever. Of just like, there's just this guy that just wants to steal our stuff, and he's willing to say whatever it takes. And it's people who are like, I'm starting to think he doesn't really work for the city. You know, he comes here in his, bright yellow vest. He says he works for the city, but then he just comes in and robs us. And he just keeps doing it. It's like, he's lying. What are you talking about? Like, but he says that he's from the city, and then he came back and said he was a plumber, and then he came back and said he was a, and it's just like, yeah, they're all lies. This is all just lies. Like, you're just being screwed. You're just being robbed. You just stop trusting them. Just stop listening to them. And it's like, but then he says he also believes in, the importance of maintenance. And it's like, he's literally using that against you. He doesn't believe that. He knows you believe that. So that's what he's saying to trick you, because that's how lies work. Is this really something I need to explain? My God, it's like that scene from Futurama when Bender is talking to the robot devil. And he's like, you can't tempt me. Devil's like, there's nothing that you want. He's like, oh, I forgot you could tempt me with things that I want. It's like, I forgot you could trick me by saying the thing I want to hear. That's how it works. It's the only way it ever works. They can't just come and say, we're Muslim, we're taking over your country, we're getting rid of Christianity and putting our religion in its place. You wouldn't let them do that. So they say, we want freedom of religion, we want separation of church and state, and then they build a damn foot-washing tub in your elementary school. Like, this is just, they're just lying. Stop falling for it, my God. If we could just stop falling for things, be great. You know what we need? We need those 1950s style instructional videos. Remember back when we had a government that still vaguely cared about our well-being? They would produce PSAs that would just be like, here's how you should behave in public. Here's how you wash your hands effectively or cover your mouth when you sneeze. You know, these classic like 1950s style. They get posted quite a bit because they seem quaint now, even though all of the advice is still perfectly valid, and it's like, it's actually kind of a great symbol of our fallen society, where it's people literally just being like, can you believe they used to post stuff like this? Can you believe they used to make stuff like this? And it's just like an instructional video that's like, ladies, if you'd like to find a husband, you need to be well-kempt and, respectable. And it's just like, they were like, can you believe they used to say this stuff? They just have like 1,000 piercings and tattoos. They're just like oozing goo for some reason. It's just like, yeah, I'm sure glad we don't teach people decency and respectability anymore. What a strange time that was. Anyway, we need those types of instructional videos. I can host it. I can do it. I'll put on a nice thin black tie. It'll be 1950s style. And it'll be how not to be a goy, how not to be a stupid goyim. that's what we need, instructions. Just like examples. We need practice runs. So like boomers and just like gullible, trusting and trustworthy Americans can just be like faced with choices where it's just like, I don't know, some gangbanger again, like just covered in tattoos, like teardrops down his eyes. And he's just like, you know, I'm a 16-year-old and I'd like to go to school with your child. And it's like, should you A, accept it because questioning him's kind of racist, or B, kick him out of your school? Like, we need like instruction, you know, because you people just keep being lied to. You just keep being lied to and screwed over constantly forever. And, you don't seem to understand what's happening, even though you seem outraged and baffled by the consequences. You can't put two together. It's very sad. It's very sad where we are at this point. So yeah, you don't need to ask for permission. You don't need to actually even care what they think about it, because guess what? They don't care what you think about it. Okay. Are you outraged that, the public high school in America is building an entire building specifically for the religious purposes of its minority Muslim population? Guess what? They don't care. They're building it anyway. They don't care. See, if you were doing something they didn't like, they would expect you to care, and you would. You would probably care because you're a decent person. You don't want to do something that's going to upset people, but they don't care. They really don't. So you don't have to do anything for them. This again, I mean, just goes back to like immigration or anything, because it's just this idea of like, you wouldn't do this to them, so why do you let them do it to you? It's pretty simple. It's called mutual respect. You would never sneak into another person's country. You would never violate their laws and steal a social security number and work under the table so you could send money back home, knowing that what you were doing was against the interests of the country you were living in, against the laws of the country you were living in. Like, the average American just wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do it because they're nice, because they're decent, because they are respectable. But you have to understand that other people will do it to you because they don't care. And that means they're bad people. And you don't have to feel sorry for them. You just understand they're the ones imposing on us. It's not rude to reject them. They're the ones scamming us. It's not rude to see through the scam and protect yourself. Is this complicated? Is this difficult to understand? I really don't get it. All right. It sort of goes back to the non-aggression principle, and not even saying like this is like a libertarian talking point or whatever, but it's like, what do we not understand about the people coming here and imposing something are the bad guys? It's that simple. I was having that argument or whatever. I didn't know it was a debate, but I went on with Sneeko, and he was like trying to like put me in a position where I would like say that it was okay that Muslims were taking over. And it's just like, what do you do? Like, why would you expect me to be cowed into like, no, I guess you're right. They are only 1%. I guess we can let them take over entire districts and, you know, prioritize their own people over us and write street signs in languages that we don't understand. Like, no, screw you. F you. Go to your own country if you want your own country. Is this, and that's what I would expect them to say to me if I went to Saudi Arabia and went, why are there no churches? You guys, don't you care about Christian churches? And we want to build here. They would just be like, go away. We don't care. We don't want you. And I would say, okay, bye. But we don't get that respect because we don't demand it. Because we let ourselves be walked over. We let ourselves be tread over. We let ourselves be suckered. Stop being a sucker. You're not a good person for being a sucker. So, yeah. And there's more stuff like that in here, but finally we have this. Camp of the Saints soars up Amazon bestseller list after reinstatement. Vauban Books edition of Camp of the Saints has surged up Amazon's bestseller ranking after its listing was restored. In a post on X, Vauban Books wrote, we have entered the top 100. Amazon ranking data shows the publisher places the book at number 63 in books. Now, if y'all don't know, Camp of the Saints was written, I think, in 1973. And it is a future dystopian novel about the hellish possibility of all of the third world moving to Europe. That's why it's called the Camp of the Saints. It's basically saying we have a little walled garden here called Europe where things are nice and pleasant and people are law abiding and cities are beautiful. And outside of this little garden, is kind of chaos and misery in like most of the world. And if we just throw open the garden gate and allow everybody from the third world in as rapidly as possible, it's not going to go well. And the invasion is going to be facilitated by leftists who hate their own country and feel like by sacrificing stuff they didn't build and they didn't earn, but rather inherited, that somehow they're offloading the guilt of that they feel for the success that their ancestors enjoyed. So, you know, it was a prediction. It was basically an accurate prediction of the modern reality. And the irony of this, of course, is the fact that we have to hear endlessly about banned books that either weren't banned and are never banned or are literally like explicit cartoon homosexual pornography in elementary schools. And it's just like all these people that are just like, they're burning books. It's like, no, we don't want, you know, I can't remember, you gay like me, whatever these books are. They're like, here's a chapter about where I tell about my experience first learning the joys of fellatio. And it's just like, why is this in my kindergartner's classroom? And they're just like, you're a Nazi who burns books. Meanwhile, there's a classic from 1973 that simply accurately predicts reality. And if you go on the banned books subreddit or any of these groups, they're all just like, well, we're against banned books, but not racist books. Okay. And this like really goes to the heart of all of it. I think like the fact these people see no, inconsistency. They don't feel like hypocrites. They don't understand that they're just principleless scum. Like they literally sit there and are like, I'm a dangerous person. I read banned books like Harry Potter. I read banned books like To Kill a Mockingbird. I'm edgy. I'm anti-authoritarian. I read banned books like, I don't know. I can think of Harry Potter and To Kill a Mockingbird. What are some other banned books that always crow on about? Fahrenheit 451? Is that a banned book? Stupid. Yeah, they're like, yeah, well, I'm pretty, you know, the government can't tell me what to read. And it's like, really? Because the only books that are banned are the racist and anti-Semitic ones. Those are the only real banned books. Those are the only ones that are actually banned right now. You know, try to find a legitimate copy of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion or Camp of the Saints or Controversy of Zion or anything by David Irving, like Churchill's War, Hitler's War. Do you want some more recommendations? Because I have them. They're all available on PDFs on the Internet Archive. So we don't even need the physical copies, but it would be nice to have them. And it is interesting that, like, as an example, as a sample, as a, you know, perfect representation of the modern left, is that they really don't understand that they're engaged in the things they think they're fighting. They really will sit there and go, how dare you bring this book in? How dare you bring this book into the banned booked section? Don't you know it's banned? And they like think they're the good guys. They think they're legitimate. They really do think they're against censorship because they support graphic homosexual pornography in elementary schools while opposing just adult, I don't know, reading about demographic change. So we're just drowning in hypocrisy and stupidity. I'd like to breathe.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work, and I'll tell you what they are. Well, Bigly, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis, but not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. and then go to the olivestonestore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit theolivestonestore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything, theolivestonestore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at theolivestonestore.com.
You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. And you said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, theolivestonestore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Fight? He's like a Secret Service agent, right? He's like not bending his elbows. Is he a Rock'em Sock'em robot? I don't understand. I don't know what that is, but okay. Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Of course, InfoWars is in all the headlines these days. I just saw, I think, New York Post. Furious Alex Jones vows to fight takeover of InfoWars by The Onion, asks his audience to buy up merch. Buy up the merch, folks. Folks, do you want to piss off Ron Carlstrom? Guys, Ron Carlstrom is going to tell you to eat a bag of dog tools if you wear it. Needs to go back to public access and praising David Koresh. Hey, this guy thinks David Koresh is the bad guy. This guy still thinks David Koresh was the bad guy, not a, you know, patriot that was murdered and burned alive along with 80 children and random innocent adults by the U.S. government. So there you go. If you want to piss off Ron Carlstrom, wear an InfoWars shirt. Like, God, you don't even have to like us. You do get that our enemies are the worst, right? Like all of the bad people hate us more than they hate everybody else. Does that not tell you a little something? It's a little something, like, from every side. Every side, the bad guys think that we're the bad guys. That make you think about anything? That make you think about things a little bit differently? I don't know. Might be a good way to judge us by our enemies. And, of course, you really do not have much time to get InfoWars products if you do want some. And it's not just about, you know, buy my stuff, but we've been robbed. Everything has been stolen from us. It's like people are like, oh, it's like he's making profit out of this. What? What, we're trying to make it through a bankruptcy that has stolen literally everything he's ever built? Oh, we're the bad guy. We're the bad guys for, like, not just accepting, you know, poverty and just going off the air and shutting down. We're supposed to just go along nicely. You know, some random scumbags rig a fake show trial, and we're supposed to just accept that because they're more powerful than us. Are you, though? Are you more powerful than us? I don't know. Seems like it requires our participation for you to succeed, and we're not participating, so you're not succeeding. Seems like if we keep fighting, we keep winning. That's what we'll do, only we can't do it without you. We can't. It takes money to run this. It takes money to mount the opposition. To be honest with you, Alex Jones could have screwed all of us over and ridden off into the sunset and just gotten some, like, multi-million dollar deal with some outlet somewhere. I mean, he got offers like crazy. When people were finding out InfoWars were shutting down, everybody wanted to hire Alex Jones. He could have just, like, 3 years ago, just been like, well, InfoWars was fun, but cutting the cord and moving on. It would have screwed all of us over. It would have, you know, given InfoWars over to them. They would have had a big victory, but Alex would have done great. He would have done amazingly. Could have moved right on. He didn't do that, though. He stuck with it because he understands why he's being targeted, why they want InfoWars like the golden eagle standard of the Roman Legion. They want the symbol. They want to mount our head on their wall, and we are depriving them of that, and they are going insane over it, and they keep breaking the law. And all we can do is persist, keep powering on, and trusting that we keep our head above water, eventually justice will be served. But regardless, it would have been served a long time ago if we felt like flipping over, if we felt like rolling over, if we felt like surrendering. It would have been a lot easier for us. So for anybody out there claiming this is in any way a grift, a scam, anything like that, like, just think about it for like 10 seconds. Just think for like 10 seconds. Just really sit there and go, how could this possibly be a scam? What benefit would this be to us ever? Is anything that we're doing fake? Do you want to research any of it before you spout off? Do you want to, like, look into it for maybe? Screw it. 5 seconds. Spend 5 seconds on it. 10, I get it. You're a busy person. Could you spend 5 seconds typing in the words to Google, hitting enter, and reading what it says? Could you try to do that? You do need to spend 10 seconds. You do need to spend about a minute because the mainstream media will lie to you. But the truth is in there if you care to look for it. And just, like, again, just think through it, y'all. You're saying, like, either everything that happened to InfoWars is totally legit, exactly like we told you, verified by court records and official reporting. Like, it's all just totally accurate, everything we've ever said. Or you have to believe that somehow this is being orchestrated, like, by the actual federal bankruptcy court, because you would have to believe that they were in on it. Why else would they be the ones to tell everybody about our financial situation? If we were getting big chunks of money from foreign investors, why would the federal bankruptcy court hide that? Because they would have to. Because you could go and find the official records of the federal bankruptcy court, and it doesn't say we're taking money from foreign powers. It doesn't say that we have ulterior motives. It doesn't, I mean, we handed everything over to them. There's no evidence of us doing anything wrong. So do you think that we have the power to manipulate the federal court system? If so, why would we do that? And if it was all a show, like, what would even be the purpose of this? This doesn't make any sense, especially when you look at, like, actual foreign powers, foreign agents, like the access they get, the way they're supported. They get to do whatever they want. They'll never get sued. Like, just really, I beseech you, I beg you, just think about it for 10 seconds. Really, really think about it. And I was thinking about that. I was trying to come up with a metaphor. I think I'll wing it. I think we'll wing it right now because I got the start of the metaphor. I'm not sure where it goes. So let's all find out together. Because what I was thinking, because people, for one thing, people do have this tendency to do absolutely no research and speculate about things that do not require speculation. A great example of this would be Alex Jones's weight loss. Now, I can understand if you're not paying attention to Alex Jones, you see him, he's looking rather chubby, and then you don't look at him, you don't see him, you don't pay attention to him for a year, and then you look at him again, you're like, wow, he's so skinny now. So the information you're working with is Alex Jones big, Alex Jones not as big. And then they look at these two things and they go, Ozempic. It must be Ozempic. He must have Ozempic or done liposuction or something. And it's like, okay, but in between these two images was an entire year where you could watch as he incrementally lost weight over a year, where he was posting daily workout videos on 5-mile runs. You don't need to speculate. There's no speculation necessary. I get that you might not have the information, but the first thing you should do is see if the information exists. Then if you find out that, you know, oh, Alex got super skinny and he's like, I didn't do anything different. It must be a miracle. Then, okay, you can go, all right, maybe something else is happening here. But if there's a perfectly reasonable explanation that has abundant evidence for it, speculation is not necessary. I see this with people speculating on why Alex turned against Trump. Have you clicked on a single video from Alex Jones? Have you read a single tweet from Alex Jones? Have you looked into it at all? Because it is not even remotely suspicious or questionable. Alex doesn't like the war in Iran. It's not that complicated. And it's the thing he says over and over and over and over. It's the thing that's imminently obvious to everybody. But this is what happens, is people just have no idea. And they start speculating. And they start finding things that look like they might line up, even if they don't. I'll just go ahead and mention this, and I'm talking about a specific tweet from Joey Salads. I think I used to like him. I think he's on the right, right? He like ran for Congress at some point or something. But basically, Joey Salads is like, if you're ever wondering why Alex Jones is anti-Trump now, it's because Jones begged for Trump's help in the lawsuits, which Trump ignored. Like, what the hell are you talking about? So again, just baseless speculation. There's no reason to believe that. The timing doesn't even line up. And if you're wondering why Alex Jones is anti-Trump now, what? It's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah, I'm trying to think of a metaphor of just like, if you're wondering how Luke Skywalker defeated Darth Vader, you know, maybe it was killing him with the lightsaber. It's like, but did you watch the movie? You don't have to speculate. There's an answer. But like, there's a bunch of people that didn't watch the movie all discussing their theories about the ending. And it's like, what are you talking about? Just look into it for 10 seconds. So I responded to him. One, Trump has criticized, Alex has criticized Trump. He's not even anti-Trump. So like I said, I'm not even anti. If you ask me right now, gun to my head, are you a Trump supporter? I'd say, yeah, I'm a Trump supporter. I voted for him. I like what he said he represented. His campaign promises are still right. He's still better than the other option. I don't hate Trump. We're not out here going, Trump's got small hands. And actually, he did overvalue Mar-a-Lago and should have been sent to jail over that. Like, no. We stand by everything we've ever said about Trump. We supported him when he was good. We would support him now if he'd stop being an idiot and destroying the world for the sake of Israel. We'd love to embrace him again. Doesn't even matter. Fine. He's anti-Trump now. Let's just take that as a premise. Fine. Alex has criticized Trump over the war in Iran. He's been explicit about this. It's weird to speculate about something with an obvious and readily apparent cause. Two, Trump has never helped InfoWars. He didn't help InfoWars his first administration. He didn't help InfoWars in between. He never came on InfoWars after we gave him the big bump during his campaign in 2016. What, we don't expect help from him. However, it is his DOJ that crushed our civil rights case months ago, despite being a slam dunk case against the Democrats. Explain that to me. Explain that to me. Again, it's not like we need his help. It's not like we're asking him for a favor. This would literally be a slam dunk, dead to rights, bombshell case against Lawfare, the Paul Weiss law firm, the FBI, the CIA, the Democrat power structure, Bloomberg. Like, and if it was anybody else, the DOJ, well, this DOJ, who knows, because they're obviously leftist infiltrators, but a normal Republican DOJ would be salivating at the opportunity for such a clear-cut case of abuse of power, abuse of process, and just criminality by a whole swath of Democrats. But we don't get it because we're Alex Jones. Like, this again, this is the inverted thing. We didn't do it because we expected anything from Donald Trump. Period. Like, that's it. Let me continue with this. So, one, Alex has criticized Trump over the war in Iran. You don't need to speculate about it. It's not a mystery. It's explicit. Two, Trump has never helped InfoWars, and his DOJ crushed our civil rights case months ago, despite being a slam dunk case against the Democrats. And the point there being that this was months ago. So if this was about Alex turning on Trump, wouldn't that have happened months ago? Again, doesn't even make sense. So once again, you're taking something you have no knowledge about. You are then creating a baseless theory on the basis of a coincidence that doesn't even exist. It's not that Alex Jones got, you know, rejected from Trump and then turned on him. Alex Jones has never been helped by Trump. He's been called by him, and they talk and all that sort of stuff. But like, in terms of actual, Trump has come on the show, that would have been a big boost. He would never do that. Again, I don't even think we've asked him to, but it's just one of those things. So then three, the fact is Trump should be helping Alex Jones because Donald Trump is the chief executive of the United States and Alex Jones is a United States citizen who had his rights violated. Isn't that Trump's job? Forget Alex Jones. Forget the person. A U.S. citizen has been raked over the coals by a cabal of corrupt Democrats abusing the court system. What should the president do if not that? Like, if not deal with that? What is he doing? Going to war with Iran and loving on Alan Dershowitz, I guess. We'll get to that in just a second. Four, Trump should help Alex because Alex was only ever targeted because he supported Trump, and it would have been the decent thing to do. We never expected to be given preferential treatment, but the fact that we get mocked for expecting the same basic protection afforded to every other American is freaking wild. And that's what's happening. We're literally just like, we have been abused. We have been screwed over. Corrupt forces have robbed us. Really, like, beyond the money. It's been 3 years that they've had their foot on our neck. Who knows what we could have accomplished otherwise? Who knows what we could have done, what we could have produced, where we could have gone, connections we could have made? Like, all of that has been stolen from us because we haven't been able to travel, because we can't get access to our money. We can't expand because we can't get access to the money. But we're supposed to take it. But we don't get representation. We don't get an ability for the government to give us justice. And when we ask that, we're treated as if we're doing some play for play, quid pro quo thing. We didn't do it on the basis of expecting anything in return. I'm just saying, if Trump had a decent bone in his body, he would have internally felt compelled to do something for us. It's a reflection on him, not us. So the metaphor I was trying to come up with for this was, it's like my kids are playing out in our front lawn and the neighbor's front lawn has really tall grass and there's snakes in my neighbor. If you let your grass grow too high, Snakes can hide in it. I don't want my kids getting bit by snakes. So maybe I go out of my way to mow our neighbor's lawn for him. Now, I'm doing that in part out of my own self-interest, right? Because it's something that I want to have done. So I'm going to do it myself. I'm also not expecting anything from my neighbor. He's not the one that asked me to mow his lawn, so why should I expect anything from him? I did it because it was something that was good for me, and maybe he's an old man and it would kind of be hard for him, and I thought it'd be a nice thing to do for him anyway. But I didn't, and you know, if he'd asked me, like, did you expect something from him? I might say, it'd be nice if he'd bring me out a glass of lemonade or something, but I'm not expecting that. I'm not doing it for that. I'm not mowing the lawn going, he's going to give me something for this. I'm going to make out so well out of this deal. No, you just do it because it's a nice thing to do it. But then it's like your lawnmower breaks and you're like, dang, all right, well, I got to go fix it. I'll fix it up. And it's fine. You don't expect him to pay for it, right? You're not like, hey, dude, you know, I was mowing your lawn with my lawnmower broke, even though you didn't ask me to. Now you have to pay for it. But wouldn't you feel a little insulted if, like, while you're covered in grease sitting in your garage trying to fix your lawnmower, he's just, like, on the phone with his friend watching you through the window, like, look at this idiot fixing his lawnmower like a jackass. He deserves it. He deserves to have his lawnmower broken. And it's just like, you know, I don't know where this metaphor goes, but it's this idea of us just expressing, like, you know, a good person would have, like, appreciated what we did for them. That's just a fact. That's just, and it's undeniable. Again, the first article relating Alex Jones to Sandy Hook was published 1 week after Trump got elected, and it was specifically tying Alex Jones to Donald Trump and Alex Jones to Sandy Hook to try to draw a line between Donald Trump and Sandy Hook. 1 week later, the first rumblings of a lawsuit began. It was a direct consequence. It was a punishment for our support of Donald Trump. Wouldn't you expect some sort of, and again, if nothing else, for his own self-interest? And this is the thing that people, I was watching a clip of Nick Fuentes, and he was saying something about how Trump is bad, and he's the only one that recognizes it. And he was like, why would you, you know, why would you think Trump would be any different? And there's an obvious explanation for why I thought Trump would be different, is because it's his own self-interest. It's because we recognize that the Democrats are going to try to destroy him and that his legacy is dependent on him succeeding for America. So it's like we're sitting here just going, oh, he said he's going to be good, so we believe him. It's like, well, he says he's going to be good, and he knows that, like, he has to defeat the deep state or they are going to destroy him. They already tried and almost succeeded. They will certainly succeed next time. And they will be even crazier and angrier. And so this wasn't a matter of us just blindly trusting Trump. It was us understanding that Trump was personally incentivized to do what he said he was going to do. And now that he hasn't done what he said he's going to do, the Republicans are going to lose the midterms. He's going to get impeached. He's going to lose the second half of his second administration to endless, you know, bureaucratic imposition by the Democratic Party. He'll probably be impeached. You know, and he could very well be thrown in jail. So, which I guess makes the, you know, scorpion and the frog kind of the perfect example, because that's sort of the argument, right? It's like, well, I didn't think the scorpion would sting me because, like, we're both going to drown. So, like, Trump really is the scorpion from the Scorpion and the Frog. He shouldn't have screwed his support over. He shouldn't have screwed his base over. He shouldn't have screwed, you know, real freedom-loving Americans over, and he's the one that's going to pay the price for it. Sucks, but that's just how it is. And so, like, even if it is in his own interest, he should have shown. And this is the other thing. Yeah, I covered that in the Daily Dispatch. The other thing about all of this, nah, I got distracted. Dang, I had something so good too. All right, hopefully it'll come up again. I wouldn't mean to ramble about this the whole time, but I had one more thing I really wanted to say. I got distracted. Got distracted by that headline. But I guess it's a good reminder. We should get into the actual news. I'll stop rambling here, but I do just want to defend sort of our position in the whole Donald Trump thing and just express that, like, oh, I remember what it was. Whew. I remembered it now. Wait, I lost it again. I'm so tired. This has been doing a lot of work recently, you guys. All right. It's that Trump says the left always sticks together. He says it over and over. He's like, if there's one thing about the left, they really know how to stick together. And it's like, yeah, and support each other. And when their people get in power, guess what? They benefit. They have, patronage. They have patronage networks. When you elect a Democrat to do something for your community, he does the thing for his community because he knows that by showing that he can do things for them, he seizes their support forever. Donald Trump expects us to support him, expects us to argue for him and to defend him. And when he gets in power, he flips the middle finger at us and does what everybody else wants. And then he complains that we don't have any loyalty. Then he complains that we don't know how to stick together. Where is the sticking together for us? We did our part. We played our role. And again, we did it without expecting anything in return. We didn't go, hey, if we get Trump, maybe he'll, give us federal money. We don't want federal money. But it shows his lack of seriousness about being a political player beyond his own, immediate benefit. Because he's done nothing to set up a lineage. There's nobody that can pick up the torch after Trump. That's been solidified as a heir apparent of MAGA. Even now, Trump's never going to be a candidate ever again. And yet it's his face on all the campaign crap. So, don't blame us for not sticking together when you literally threw us to the wolves. We sat back and laughed and said, yeah, those wolves sure tore him up. He deserved it. Where's literally, and this is the thing with the neocons. If the neocons had shown just any modicum of being willing to, collaborate on certain things. Say, hey, I know you guys don't like the war, but, maybe we could work together on immigration. I know you got some big business concerns, but you could help us with immigration and we could, facilitate something here. But it's all greed. It's all just you give us what we want, then we do whatever the hell we want and you have to support us or else you're the disloyal ones and you're the ones who don't know how to stick together. You benefit nothing from us being in power. Actually, everything just continues to get worse. Only now you're the one blamed for it. Nothing ever benefits you personally. Your people get screwed over continuously. The things that we ran on, we then call you stupid for expecting. And why don't you stick together with us? Why don't you be like the left and show us total loyalty? Because that's a two-way street, dumbass. Again, is this hard to understand? Am I really expressing something that's difficult to comprehend? Or is our president a sleazebag?
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
I got other stuff to talk about. We're going to move on here. I was going to move on right now, but then I happened to come across this post. No, we'll just cover it. This is a truth post from Donald Trump. He says, I've always been a big fan of Tim Cook. Why? Who would be a big fan of Tim Cook? What? Okay. Like, I don't know. It's just weird, man. It's like, I don't know. It's weird. That's a weird thing to say. It's like being a band, being a fan of like a Beatles cover band. Like, what? He's just pretending to be the real genius who came before. Sorry. Let's not get distracted. I've always been a big fan of Tim Cook. Okay. Weird. And likewise, Steve Jobs. But if Steve was not taken from the planet Earth so young, and ran the company instead of Tim, the company would have done well, but nowhere near as well as it has under Tim. Jesus Christ. For me, it began with a phone call from Tim at the beginning of my first term. He had a fairly large problem that only I, as president, could fix. Hey, kind of like Alex. That's kind of like Alex Jones. You know, Alex had a pretty big problem that you, as president, could have fixed. Only, you know, he didn't spend the preceding 4 years manipulating the giant corporation that he runs to spread fake news about you and to silence your supporters. So that was the mistake Alex made, was supporting you from the beginning. But no, your vicious enemy who despises the First Amendment and literally called it a sin to allow Alex Jones on his platforms. Crazy, but that's Tim Cook's religion. He considers it a sin to allow an American to speak freely. And that's who, you know, Donald Trump was happy to help. Most people would have paid millions of dollars to a consultant who I probably would not have known, but who would say that he knew me well. The fees would be paid, but the job would not have gotten done. When I got the call, I said, wow, it's Tim Apple Cook calling. How big is that? I was very impressed with myself to have the head of Apple calling to kiss my ass. I mean, what are we supposed to do with this? What are we supposed to do with this? He's literally just like, I'm a child. I'm a little child that even if somebody screws me over endlessly, as long as they pretend to be contrite, I fall for it. I fall right over, head over heels. I fall for the lie. Me, Donald Trump, the best, the genius. He recognized what a genius I am. And he said a few things that he knew he had to say to trick me. And boy, did he trick me. I'm easily tricked. Like, that, I mean, is that not what he's saying here? Tim Cook despises Donald Trump, has given speeches justifying why Apple would remove entire apps off their app store just because it allowed Trump supporters to speak. Again, it's like, somebody explain this to me. Somebody explain to me why Donald Trump is embracing his bitterest enemies and rejecting his oldest supporters. Somebody make sense of this to me, because these people have not changed. And the only conclusion you can come to, Trump literally wants to be surrounded by weakness. He wants to be surrounded by sniveling, worm-like, groveling scum. As long as he gets an ego boost out of their faux contrition, their simulated humility before him, he falls for it, and he falls for it hook, line, and sinker. These people have tangibly hurt him, have worked against him in ways that they should go to jail for. But because they are the type of conniving, dishonest scum that he surrounds himself with, they play the part, they lie to him, and he guzzles it down. This is pathetic and sick and really a genuinely horrifying reflection of who he is as a person. I want to be surrounded by strong people, not sniveling worms.
What's this?
Oh,
I've got Power Plant.
Oh, what's this?
I've got Methyl Drive. The two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Get wide awake with Harrison Smith live on the War Room right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff in this hour. We're going to talk about Israel. We're going to talk about Alan Dershowitz. We're going to talk about the Dead Sea and Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll move on from dissecting the psychology, the ever-shifting and disturbing psychology of Donald Trump as revealed through his Truth Social post. We'll move on from that. I'm wondering how to introduce this next idea to you. I think I'll be tricky. I think I'll introduce it to you in a tricky way, okay? Let's go to clip number 5. Well, let me just say first, as an intro to this, like, I think if you were to ask me to name like one virtue that just like supersedes all the others, just like boil what is good, you know, everything down to just like one dichotomy. It's just truth versus falsehood. It is reality versus the lie. It's honesty versus dishonesty. That's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. Everything. Cause like if you know, what would your life be like if you were forced to be honest all the time? Wasn't there a Jim Carrey movie like that? Liar, liar, right? Like, what if you were in Liar, Liar? What if you were forced to, without hesitation, answer every question that was put to you? Could you do it? Would you be able to do it? People ask me how I do a 3-hour show with no teleprompter, just live off the cuff. The way I do it is I don't think thoughts that I won't say out loud. So I can just sort of go. I can just sort of say what I believe and just speak extemporaneously and not put too much thought into it and try to craft the things. I'm not being dishonest. I'm just telling you what I actually believe and what I actually think. And so if I thought things that I wasn't willing to express, I'd be uncomfortable. I wouldn't be able to handle that. But everybody's out there walking around thinking things they won't say, or, you know, deceiving people because it is a means to an end. And when you do that, you're building a house on sand when you try to establish anything on the basis of a lie. And this is obvious. I don't need to be telling you this. You're not children, right? You get it. But I personally have trouble even like fully comprehending and understanding like what this means to be surrounded by people that don't just lie and are dishonest, but like really genuinely don't see a problem with it. And like actually think they're being clever and smart and intelligent. They're just lying. I want to set up this next segment with that, you know, preamble. Because we've heard a lot about the post-truth world, but I don't think anybody is ready for the reality of that. Okay. Let's go to clip number 5 here. First, go to clip number 5. I'm not going to tell you what it is, one way or the other. Okay. But I will explain it on the other side. So, here's a clip that's going around on the internet. Let's watch. Maral, 34, survivor of sexual violence by the Iranian regime. I was arrested. They put me inside a van. They would take us in groups of 7 to 8 women at a time to a certain room, and I thought they would beat us there. They took 7 to 8 women. They raped us in groups. That woman doesn't exist. That was AI. She doesn't exist. As far as I know, I was trying to look it up. That was a totally fabricated AI creation by Israel to try to portray victims of the Iranian regime that do not exist. You see there, identity protection AI avatar, they call it. But actually, it goes deeper than that. We have this story from CalCalisTech.com. Generative AI for good, how deepfake technology is amplifying silenced voices. So this is an initiative in Israel called Generative AI for Good. And they're talking about creating attention through viral campaigns, animating the images of women murdered by their partners. And now they're doing it for, quote unquote, women murdered by the Iranian regime that don't actually exist. Okay? You want to talk about a post-truth world? We're in it, folks. Since October 7th, the organization is also focused on amplifying the Jewish and Israeli narrative amid rising global anti-Semitism. We had a project where we were the voice of hostages of two amazing children that had been in captivity in Gaza for a long time, and we were their voice, she said. We did this project in English, but also in German, and we succeeded in increased empathy. Increased empathy. By lying. By lying and tricking people. Like, do you see what I meant with the preamble? Like, to me, the truth is supreme above all. It doesn't matter what I want to happen. What matters is what happened. Doesn't matter what, you know, is it going to make me look like a fool? Good. Make me look like a fool. I just want to know what's true. I want to know what actually happened. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters is the truth. You strip everything else away. If you don't have the truth, you'll never solve any problems. You'll never get to the bottom of anything. It's a hopeless endeavor. With the truth, you can solve anything. You can solve everything. And this is when it gets, you know, especially things like, you know, racial problems in America. It's the only reason we have problems because of the lies, because of the deception, because of the manipulation that goes on. If we could just tell the truth about it, it wouldn't be an issue. None of this would be an issue. But we can't tell the truth about it because it hurts people's feelings, because they value something other than truth, higher than truth. They value their own immediate material well-being or their goal to create a greater Israel. Whatever it may be, that's more important to them. And they don't feel ashamed in it. It's not something they're trying to get away with. It's something they're proud of in advertising and writing articles about. Yes, we create AI fake people to tell fake sob stories in an attempt to pull the heartstrings of people so they will in real life support the real thing that we're doing, which is murdering children. So we'll create a fake child that people will have empathy for the fake child so they'll give support to us so we can kill the real children. This is where we are, and it's so unbelievably sickening. And these people do not care about truth, and that's the real point, is like, truth is convenient to them. They will invoke it if and when it serves their purpose. But lying, truth, it's all the same to them. What serves them? What benefits them? How can they get away with something? Like, it doesn't matter to them what's true and what's not. What matters is what's useful and what's not. And that's like such a crazy mindset to try to get yourself into if you're not one of these people. And we'll explain how this is not, again, it's not just this one group doing this generative AI. creating fake posts. Oh, to keep her safe, her face has been digitally altered. Crazy. It's crazy, folks. All right, so generative AI is using deepfake technology for good by amplifying silenced voices. In other words, speaking on behalf of people they have no right to speak on the behalf of, and deliberately doing it in order to gain favor with people who don't know any better. But it goes deeper than that. This is Eli Hazan, the new director of Netanyahu's press office. He was a former Likud spokesperson. Clip number 15, here's Eli Hazan explaining Israel's new strategy moving forward in the PR war. Let's watch. I'll tell you what's happening. Truth doesn't matter anymore. Facts don't matter anymore. That's why, by the way, I wasn't always like this. I became like this. I spread fake news as a response to them. I wasn't like this. Only truth mattered to me. I wasn't interested because I reached the conclusion we need to be Trump. These people don't understand goodness. They only understand war. And you want war on social media? We'll give you a war on social media. We don't want war, you psychopaths. That's the whole issue. That's the whole problem. So again, that's the head of EU's press division just going, yeah, we lie. Yeah, we spread fake news. As if this is a response, like as if it's a defensive thing. I mean, again, it's like, okay, they're waging the Eighth Front War just like they're waging the other seven fronts of war. They'll start the fight. They'll expand the fight. They'll introduce novel, dangerous weapons to a fight. And then they'll claim that they're the aggrieved party because you respond in kind. It's outrageous and it's ridiculous. And again, he's not shy about it. He's not saying, you know, these people are lying. There's so much fake news and we will burst through with the truth. He's saying, we're going to lie better than them. Now, the little difference is we're not lying. The anti-Israel people don't have to lie. Why would we? Why would we? A lot of times I have to downplay the truth about Israel because the truth is so insane that people won't believe it. So Israel just is insane, does crazy crap, lies about it. If you call it out for it, they claim, oh my gosh, you're fake news. I guess we have to lie too. It's just this endless cycle of deception that we're going to shatter. We're going to break it. We're not going to fall for your crap. We're not going to believe anything you ever say. And then you're going to cry and whine that we don't have empathy for you. You suck. I have empathy for you. That's why I understand that you're evil. Because empathy doesn't mean sympathy. It just means I can put myself in your mindset, and I can put myself in the mindset of a despicable scumbag liar. I can do it. I can imagine what it's like to be that person. And when I do that, I don't think, gee, I understand why he says that. I think, oh, I understand what it's like to be an evil scumbag. It's pretty simple, actually. Low IQ, evil scumbags, all the way down. Does this matter to anybody else? Does truth matter anymore? Or is this just the game that we're playing? I'm telling you, it's the same thing the left does. It's a very distinct similarity here. Where once again, you've got us just telling the truth. They insist on lying. And then they claim that they're only lying because we're lying. And really, we're just telling the truth. It's you can establish what the truth is and just pursue that relentlessly. I think people around the world would appreciate that and come over to that side. But it turns out we're being like, there's like an ever increasing amount of our population that thinks this is fine and clever and good. That literally walk into a neighborhood where people have their bikes unlocked, sitting out on their porch, and kids are running around with no supervision. Dogs are off leash, just having a good time, and everything is safe and prosperous. And they think these suckers are just leaving this stuff out for me to take. These idiots don't understand that I can just take their bikes right now. And it's like, yeah, you're ruining everything. No, you don't understand like second order effects, and you're like a plague on the planet, and you suck. And we have every right to keep you out with everything that we've got, either because you're too low IQ to even understand the damage that you're doing, or because you're high IQ enough to understand it and you're doing it anyway. So you're evil. You're bad. We shouldn't have to put up with you. Pretty simple, actually. So in this case, you don't become the head director of, communications for Netanyahu without being smart. So you're just evil. You're just a very bad, bad person. But you think you're clever and you think it's like, you're getting one over on everybody or something. Okay, great. You got a brand new bike. Congratulations. You really got one over on the poor little kid that doesn't have a bike anymore. You did it. But you've destroyed everything. But now we can't leave our bikes out anymore. Now we have to lock everything up. Now everything has to go away because you people think it's clever and fun to lie because you don't want to tell the truth. Because if people told the truth, everybody would hate you. That's the case with Israel. But it's a universal. It's sort of a continuum. Because we have that going on all over the place constantly. Again, and it all does boil down. Like, maybe I'm the crazy one, but I see a very similar mindset. Like, they're on the same team, whether you're talking about the thug on the corner that's just committing petty crime because he can get away with it, or the, elite Israeli world controller that's lying us into a world war. Like, they're just, it's different gradations of kind of the same mindset. And it's a mindset of deception and of lies and of manipulation and of underhandedness. And at the end of the day, like, the thing that really gets my fire burning about, like, the world that we're in is just knowing that we are on this, like, increasing speed trajectory towards a world where honesty and truth just does not exist. Except in my head. And like a few very, intelligent, thoughtful people can see through this stuff somehow. But literally everybody else is just awash in a world of stupidity and lies. This is terrible. This is terrible. Because we really are getting to like an idiocracy where, the Alex Jones thing is kind of the best example. Anybody who looks at it, honestly, and I genuinely believe this, it's not because, and this is the thing, like, I am an honest person, I'm an honorable person. So, like, if I were to be moderating a debate, I might definitely agree on one side or the other. But if I'm the moderator, you bet your ass you're not going to be able to tell. You are not going to be able to tell which side I'm actually on. If I am in the role of moderator, I will take that role seriously, and I won't let my own personal inclinations get in the way. That's just what I think you should do. It's what I would want a moderator to do if I was debating, and this is how it works. So I'm not misconceiving of what's happened to Alex because I'm personally involved. Objectively, if anybody looks objectively at what was done to Alex Jones and InfoWars through the lawsuits, it is an objective crime. It is objectively abuse of process. It is wrong. And everybody on every side of the aisle should agree on that. Liberals supposedly don't want, the government abusing people and silencing them if they're classical liberals. Conservatives obviously shouldn't want a giant cabal of Democrats to take down a right-wing voice through manipulated legal processes. Everybody should be able to see that what happened to Alex Jones is outrageous and wrong. Just like if it happened to anybody else, we would be here defending them. Because we are objective. We do love the truth. We are able to recognize threats of tyranny, threats to our liberty from all directions. Breaks my heart to know that we are growing up, that my kids are growing up in a world that the truth just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. We're InfoWars. He's Alex Jones. So truth be damned, let him be taken down. Doesn't matter if, innocent people suffer, industries go down. It doesn't matter. It sucks. It honestly sucks to know that this is the world that we're going into and that it's only increasing over time with people like that or people like all these others just being relentlessly dishonest and justifying it and thinking it's clever because they get away with it because the honest people are so freaking stupid that we refuse to punish the dishonest people. Like we cannot break out of our own self-imposed one-sided respect. Like, we, you know, a lot of times, like, Americans, people, like, we're honest. We expect everybody else to be honest. And it, like, somehow people cannot get it through their minds that other people are just taking advantage of you. Very frustrating. Let's go to clip number 10 here. This is clip number 10. This is, pretty brilliant example of just like, a process occurring in our world right now. Clip 10.
Freaking cute this is. I was on my walk and I saw this little sign with all these little flowers. So I went home and grabbed some money and now I'm going to put some money in and take a little flower thing. How cute is this? Got myself some flowers. These are so freaking cute.
That stand would not last 1 minute in the ghetto. It will not last 60 seconds. It's not happening. They'll steal all the money. They'll steal all the flowers. They will tear down the stand for fun. That's how f***ed up the environment is in the ghetto. It's really sad. Because one of the biggest benefits of living in a so-called white neighborhood is that your neighbors trust you and you trust your neighbors. For example, if I leave the trunk of my car open for 1 week, nothing will be missing. Nothing's missing. In fact, one of my neighbors would contact me to inform me that, hey, your trunk is open. Would you like for me to close it for you? I'd be like, sure. They'll close it. End of discussion. Nothing's missing in my car. This is the difference between many so-called white neighborhoods and so-called black neighborhoods. These types of stands would not last one damn minute. Sad.
You know, the interesting thing about so-called white neighborhoods is that they're white neighborhoods. You know, this is funny. He's like, these so-called white neighborhoods. Oh, what, you mean the neighborhoods filled with white people? Why are they called white neighborhoods? Because it's all white people in them? Okay. So what you're saying is that white neighborhoods are filled with honest people that will not take advantage of vulnerabilities? Because that's what that is. That little stand with the flowers, with the jar of money. Saying, please take, that's a vulnerability. That's a big glaring chink in the armor. That's what makes life worth living. That's why it's beautiful. That's why people want to go to those neighborhoods. Only now the people going to those neighborhoods, for some reason, can't make the connections that guy just did and just think these suckers all just steal these flowers and then they just think they'll be there tomorrow and they'll get to steal them again and somebody will replace it. It's just like magical thinking. These things just exist. They're just out there somewhere. And we get to take them and destroy them and rip them up and burn them down. And then we'll be confused at where they've gone. Why don't they give them more of us? Well, wait, all of our stuff is crappy now, but all their stuff is still nice. Let's go take that. They must have stolen it from us somehow. It's this crazy magical thing, but it all gets down to honesty and trust because obviously trust cannot exist without honesty. And that's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. And so we're just in a world that is increasingly suspicious and manipulative and deceptive and dishonest and disconnected with truth. It means we can't solve any of the problems that we would like to solve because we can't tell the truth about them. And those problems are only going to get bigger and more intense the longer they go unaddressed. We got to get back to truth. We got to seize onto truth like it's our life vest. In this final moment, and understand that you can have your own personal beliefs, you can have your own personal views on the truth, but the truth is the truth, regardless of who believes what. And that is a fundamental distinction between us and the bad guys.
The bad guys all over the world, the EU, NATO, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Democrat Party, they all recognize InfoWars and its history. Since 1997, when I started the website using that name, as being probably the most devastating weapon of truth against them. And that's why they've tirelessly attacked us, censored us, and tried to shut us down. but because you stood with us as modern Paul Revere's, as true InfoWarriors, we've not only stayed on air, but we've become more effective and reached even more people, not just here, but around the world. This is 1776 Worldwide. Now, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. We also have a new line promoting the 250th anniversary of the American Republic, about to show you in a moment. But these are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at theallisonstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines. Again, we the people, that means you and I, literally are the InfoWars. We are the eyes and ears on the ground. We are the people engaged in the fight to awaken humanity and seeing giant successes. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Dozens of new limited edition shirts in the 1776 line and hats. I love this one. InfoWars. All gut, no quit. Remember all the times the last few years where they had the fake auctions and raided us and turned the electricity off and got overturned in court? Oh, we're still battling. We wouldn't still be here if it wasn't for your fight. I'm the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. And that's who we are. So you want to get this camo classic InfoWars shirt right now at theallisonstore.com. A lot of these new shirts and hats are totally new designs, but a lot of them are classics, but limited edition with 1776 on the shoulder. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. There's not just the new InfoWars 1776 line of hats. There's things like this bad boy, just real clean, classic Americana USA. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at theallisonstore.com. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And this is just a small sampling of the designs at theallisonstore.com. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250. 1776 forever. Again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you all for your past support. And just let you know, it's up to you whether this continues on. The InfoWar lives on through you. I suggest you get some of these classic designs while you still can, because in the future, if they get shut this down, we're going to have big problems selling InfoWars named apparel. Could be your last chance to get it. Thanks for your support. Take action now at theallisonstore.com. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being part of the true heart of America and the resistance against the globalists. God bless you all.
Gentlemen, this is the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Share those links. Please do follow us on X. You may know the planned relaunch will occur on May 1st, which is about a little over a week away. So make sure you're following us on all the social media platforms so you do not miss what comes next. And There's so many things we're still wanting to get into. One of the things I think, you know, if you're wondering why you should support us at thealexjonesstore.com, I would say one of the reasons would be the fact that we really are tomorrow's news today. And it is a little bit, disconcerting, unsettling how we are often the only ones to notice certain things? So I was thinking about this with all of the talk about Tyler Robinson and his confession, and there's all this drama going on. If you're watching the Alex Jones show, you heard some of it. And the interesting thing is that right now people are learning that Robinson may not have willingly surrendered himself like we've been told in the like official story. That's a little bit weird to me because it was obvious from the beginning that it was a setup. This is really the weird thing. If you go back to like the first announcements about Tyler Robinson turning himself in, we had all of this information and I reported it at the time. I said, this doesn't sound like that he willingly went and turned himself in. It sounds like he or his dad got a call from a friend in the police department or the sheriff's office, who said, hey, they think Tyler Robinson is the guy who shot Charlie Kirk. They're going to come arrest him. It's better if you turn yourself in, because what you don't want is the SWAT team showing up to your house, kicking the door down and something going wrong. So to, you know, stop that potential from happening, why don't you come turn yourself in? And if it's a mistake, we'll get it all cleared up. That was the official story from the beginning. So I reported at the time that this wasn't Tyler Robinson just on his own volition, just going, I did it and going in. Or, you know, some people said that his dad like recognized the rifle and called his son and said, you have to turn yourself in. No, the official story from the beginning was that a friend of theirs went to them and said, Tyler's the guy. They're going to come arrest him. You should turn yourself in so you aren't killed in a shootout. And so he turned himself in. That's like coercion. That's like a threat. It's like a blackmail. Hey, they're going to come kill you. You better go turn yourself in. That's what actually happened. And that was reported 6 months ago. That's like kind of the weird thing is it's like there. I've thought about covering some of the like recent releases of like the Charlie Kirk stuff. Like if I said it all 6 months ago, nothing new has come up. If you want to find out, you know, what most people are saying right now about the Tyler Robinson trial, go back and watch my coverage from September of last year. Because all of this was obvious and apparent and there for you to see. So it's that type of thing where it's like, I hope people are paying attention. I hope they're watching. Cause I don't have the time or the bandwidth at this point to like go through and scrub entire months of video to, you know, find the parts that I talked about. I just have to go, you know, like I talked about this 6 months ago. I hope people remember. I hope people watched it. And when they see it, because I see something, you know, being bombshell reveal. And I sit there going, I talked about this 6 months ago. And I just hope, I'm like, I hope all the people who watch me are like, hey, Harrison talked about that 6 months ago. I hope. I really hope. Because it's a constant thing. And it's sort of, I don't know. This is one of the things I'm excited about doing with the new manifestation of InfoWars. And this is kind of another funny thing. People are mocking us because InfoWars is shutting down. Again, it's not our fault. Like, we have nothing to feel bad about. You can mock other places for going down because they fail, because nobody watches them and nobody likes them and nobody buys the things they advertise. So they go down and collapse. That's not what happened to us. This is again, like, you know, I was saying yesterday, this is like, you know, celebrating that Maximus didn't do well in the last fight of Gladiator. It's like, well, he got stabbed in the side. So it's, you know, it wasn't actually an accurate reflection of his ability to fight when he has an arm tied behind his back. So we've had both of our arms tied behind our back, our feet cinched together and a mask over our eyes. And we're still winning the fight, but we're not winning as much as we would otherwise. People want to mock us for that. It's like, you're not mocking us. You're just showing that you're like on the side of the evil people that use ill-gotten power to illegally disadvantage us. But all that's to say, I could not be more excited about moving on to the next step. I mean, you know, it's been great, and we have grown and we have done incredible things. We have continued to like change the trajectory of America and, you know, create worldwide headlines with what we've done here at InfoWars over the last 2.5 years. we haven't slowed down or been totally crushed by any means. But my God, do you know how much better it's going to be once we're in the new location with the, you know, we can hire crew and we can buy equipment. And I mean, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. So again, I feel like I have people online being like, it's like they're turning to me and being like, so I guess it's going to be Christmas morning in a week, huh? And I'm like, yep. Are you trying to, what do you think is happening? What do you think is happening? So they're like, I thought you were shutting down. It's like, do you mean Christmas? Do you mean that I'm about to be free from the bankruptcy to federal court oversight to actually expand and become bigger and better? Gee. Oh, no. Oh, gosh, no, please don't. I'm so excited. This studio is amazing. Luckily, the crew is all coming along. Like, we're not really losing anything. Except for the name, I guess. But, like, I'm excited. Personally, I'm very excited about what comes next. And I hope you're excited as well. And I hope you know that, like, we're going to continue to tell the truth. We're going to continue to do what we do. And people have this idea, and this has been a constant ever since the bankruptcy thing, where they're just like, so I guess Alex will be shut up from now on. Whoops. And it's like, well, no, not even a little bit. No, we're going to be just as loud, just as popular, just on now and all the same platforms. Like, no, it's just not happening. So again, the bad guys are dancing a victory celebration in La La Land imagination world. Meanwhile, in the real world, they're just like cheating, losing anyway, and giving us what we actually want. So it's actually amazing. And I just knocked my plug sheet on the ground. So I can't tell you what's on sale right now, but I do know it's probably a giant sale. It's probably some sort of gigantic, irresponsible level of discount at thealexjonesstore.com because we just can't help ourselves. That's right. It's the Last Stand Super Sale. All InfoWars products are on discount right now. Sign up for any supplement. You get a free bottle of Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy, two incredible products from thealexjonesstore.com. The InfoWars product fundraiser is on right now because April 30th will be it, your last chance ever to get official InfoWars products. So now the InfoWars product fundraiser is live. You're getting 20% off incredible merchandise, and it is your last chance to get exclusive InfoWars products. Support us directly and help fuel the fight in this most critical time. You can also subscribe and get 50% off your favorite supplements, plus a free bottle of Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy. And in addition to these, I'm telling you, we love piling on discounts, piling on advantages. So not only are you getting 20% off InfoWars to get your final chance to get InfoWars official branded merchandise, you're also getting 50% off if you sign up for a regular subscription of supplements, which will continue even after InfoWars shut down. Obviously, the Alex Jones Network and the Alex Jones Store are a separate entity and will continue. So you get 50% off by signing up for a subscription, plus you get either Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy with that. That's like three things right off the bat, two discounts and a free product. And then on top of that, you get another product, a free mystery gift with purchase. I'm not sure exactly what the mystery gift is going to be. I just know that other times that we've done free gifts, it's usually things like hats, t-shirts, things that could be up to like $30, $40 in value, but no guarantees. I'm not even sure what the mystery gift is, but we don't skimp on the mystery gifts is what I'm saying. It's not like you get a mystery gift like a sticker. Like, no, you're going to get a real thing. You're going to get something that you would actually want in the mystery gift. And that's just on top of all the other discounts, on top of all the other deals. Go today, right now, to thealexjonesstore.com. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, should we continue with... we just have so much to cover. I think we'll go to clip 23 here because this is really an amazing clip from friend of the show, Republic Apostle. Republic Apostle is a very good Twitter follow. I think it's just at Republic Apostle, but I'll confirm that here. Because he's, you'll see, you'll get to watch it right here. The type of guy this is and the, strength of his convictions. Here's Republic Apostle, talking about the future of the movement. Let's watch.
And during the few moments that we have, listen up, America. They've been calling us low IQ They've said it about me, they've said it about you, and they've said it loudest about the Warriors who refuse to bow. Alex Jones, Harrison Smith, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, guess what? We are low IQ, and we're proud of it. We're the low IQ truck drivers, welders, nurses, farmers, moms, dads, and veterans who still believe that a man is a man, a woman is a woman, America is worth saving, and that we shouldn't be over in Iran fighting Israel's wars. We're the low IQ patriots who don't need a Harvard degree to see that open borders are an invasion, that boys don't belong in girls' sports, and that printing trillions of dollars doesn't make us rich. They have their Ivy League genius, but we've got common sense, and right now common sense is kicking their ass. Alex Jones screamed the truth when the rest of the media called him crazy. Harrison Smith stayed on air while the censors tried to erase him. Candace Owens walked away from the machine. She didn't look back. Tucker Carlson got fired for telling the truth, and then he built an even bigger platform. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, she walked into the swamp with a smile on her face and a flamethrower in her hand. They called every single one of them low IQ, and every single one of them is still standing, still fighting, still winning. Because here's the little dirty secret that the elites don't want you to know. You don't need a high IQ to know when you're being lied to. You just need a spine. They stole our elections, they censored our voices, they mocked our God, our guns, our families, our flag. They told us that we're garbage. And what did we do? We stood up, we voted harder, we built parallel economies, we started our own media, we took over school boards, we flipped the House, we flipped the Senate. And in 2028, we're taking it all back. So go ahead, keep calling us low IQ, keep sneering, keep underestimating the American people. Because every time you do, another million patriots wake up, load up, and get louder. We are the low IQ rebellion. We are an unstoppable force, and we are the future. And we're coming back for our country, locked and loaded. The comeback starts right now. We're not just going to win. We're going to win so much, you're going to be tired of winning. And this is our country, this is our moment, and we're taking it back.
I love it. Absolutely love it. That's Republic Apostle. Follow him on X at Republic Apostle. Really greatly appreciate that attitude, that energy, that, yeah, just principled, forward-looking stance. Because, you know, we're not getting black-pilled here. We are understanding the forces that we're up against are maybe even greater than we thought, really, at the end of the day. Or at least more willing to behave more recklessly than we originally thought. That might be a good way of putting it. Because again, we expect people to be, you know, their behavior to be moderated by some sort of, you know, sense of concern about like getting caught in their criminal activity, but like they are just going full mask off at this point, and it's entirely up to us to bring it all back. And on that note, it's not that hard. It's really not hard to bring it all back. Actually, I would argue harder to keep the situation as it is right now, like significantly harder. For example, we played the video in the last segment of the woman walking around, you know, showing that instead of a lemonade stand, little kids in her neighborhood did a flower stand and just left a jar of money out and asked people to contribute, and she did. And, you know, the question is, how do you maintain that? How do you maintain that? Because it only takes one person to destroy it. It takes everybody in that neighborhood to go along with it. It takes one person to ruin it. And once that one person ruins it, it's ruined. Because people have to respond to that. You know, it's the story I'm told in a while, but I always used to tell it about the, I think it was the Golden State Killer, if I'm not mistaken, but it was one of those serial killers in the 80s in California. And a woman who, in a documentary, is giving an interview about it, and she's talking about how her grandmother refused to lock the door. And the woman's going, "Mom, you got to lock. There's a prowler going around. He's killing people. He's going into houses. You got to lock your door." And the mom said, "I don't want to live in a country where I have to lock my door. I don't trust my neighbors." And it's like, well, you too bad. You do. You do. Grandmother didn't lock the doors and was killed that night by the Golden Gate Strangler, Golden whatever it is. She was killed. She was murdered. And so it's like, you know, it only takes one. It takes one person. Suddenly the whole neighborhood's got to lock their doors. The whole neighborhood's got to put locks around their bike. The whole neighborhood has to tell their kids, hey, sorry, that stand you worked so hard on, it got knocked over and destroyed. Probably not worth it to try it again, huh? They're just going to knock it over and destroy it again. So maybe do something less productive. It only takes one. So how do you maintain it? You maintain it. Actually, to reference back to Camp of the Saints, like a walled garden. You have to have a wall. You have to have barriers. You have to have the ability to expel people that do not have the moral character to behave. It's really not hard. And it's actually shocking that we can't figure this out. I saw there was a headline earlier this week, or maybe last week, and it was about a new top of the line, like light rail. I think it was built in San Francisco, but the headline was like, the light rail makes it 6 hours before its first overdose death. And it's about this new stop of the light rail not even being open for a full day before there was a death due to overdose at the location. And it's like, doesn't that sort of tell you how disjointed and disoriented our entire society is? That we simultaneously have the ability to create like top of the line, high technology, you know, light rail trains. And then we're building it for people that are just overdosing on heroin in it. And it's like, what are we doing here? Like, it seems like you should have one or the other. It seems weird that we have both. Seems like if we can figure out the technology and societal organization to build huge infrastructure projects with advanced technology, seems like we'd also be able to apply some of that critical thinking to the problem of our citizens killing themselves and our country through drugs. It seems like we should be able to handle this, but that's like that headline's been been just like sticking with me for a while, because it's just, there's something very illustrative about that. And we can build this incredible new train so people can like do drugs and grope women on it, you know? And so there's a normalcy bias. There's a frog boiling the pot mentality going on in America right now. And there's a willing blindness from a lot of people to simply accept what's going on in our country as if it's inevitable, as if it can't be stopped, as if it's a force of nature that just has to be content. You know, we have to just contend with it rather than attempt to change it. Crime, failure, abuse. These are not hurricanes. These are not tornadoes. These are not things that we just have to put our head under the ground and try to survive. These are things that have causes and that have solutions. Behavior has incentives and disincentives. And so much of what is done in our criminal justice system today, nowadays, is off this. Again, I can't figure out how to like really quantify it, but it's like they've got theories about things that might work that anybody with a brain in their head knows will never work. But we seem compelled to try these things out, have them fail, and then double down on them endlessly when they never work for anybody. I don't know why. I don't know why. Because on the flip side, we have example after example after example of the opposite strategy being taken, and it succeeds wildly for everybody. Because then the question becomes, let's say you have a neighborhood that was nice, the little kids put out little bouquet stands and everybody loved each other, and then a criminal moves in. All right, that one criminal might shatter the peace of everybody, but maybe not. Let's say there's five criminals. Let's say like a couple houses get flipped, a couple families move in. And suddenly there's a crime problem. Not only does that mean your quality of life goes down, you can no longer take advantage of the liberty of your country, because that's what liberty really is. Liberty is the ability to, like, put your kid out on the street and say, come back at sundown. To, you know, let your daughter go walk to the store to buy something for herself and never have to worry if she's never going to come back again or going to get hit by a drunk driver. Like, if you don't have the liberty to walk to the corner store at 2 a.m. and buy something without being in fear for your life, then you're not free. You're a prisoner in your own home. So liberty goes down. Freedom goes down overall just because, you know, like the people in Memphis. The interview we played a couple months ago when Trump first sent down the National Guard there, and the woman said, I can finally let my kids play in our own backyard now. Your own backyard? If you can't play in your own backyard because it's not safe, you're not free. Freedom requires peace, peace of mind, trustworthiness, trust. You can't have peace. You can't have liberty without these things. Okay, so family of criminals moves in. Several criminals' family moves in because obviously the house prices go down once you have a criminal population. So people want to get out before more criminals move in. It's called blockbusting. It's actually a strategy that realtors developed during the civil rights movement. And so things just start to get worse. But really what happens is all of the tax money that either wasn't being collected because it wasn't needed or was going towards improvement and projects that better the society, you know, because when I go to Japan, right, I saw a sanitation worker on his hands and knees with a little brush scrubbing the one tile in the subway that was scuffed. That's what you can do when you aren't constantly just trying to keep the boat afloat. Instead of like constantly being overwhelmed with a backlog of crimes and criminality, new crimes constantly being committed, and you're just trying to capture the guys committing the crimes while the guys that commit the last crime are getting away, it's like it's chaos. But if everything's fine and you're sitting there going, I guess I'll take care of this thing over here. I guess I'll go above and beyond. I guess I'll do a little extra now. So instead of taxpayer money going towards repairing the sidewalk or, you know, creating, you know, community events for the families to enjoy, now you're having to pay for police. Now you're having to pay for the detectives to come and investigate the crime. And you're having to pay for the lawyer for the criminal because they get to defend themselves. And you got to pay for the public prosecutor to try to do it. And the judge obviously is going to let the person out. So, you know, you've paid all of this money. You've had your peace destroyed. You've had the government become more powerful and more, you know, more interference on your personal life. And at the end of it, the criminal's just still on the street, still victimizing you. And so it's a compounding effect. It's not the case where you can just have one thing go bad and it stops there. Everything, like every act of criminality, starts a snowball rolling down a hill that consumes resources and joy and life. And it's just, it's endless and forever unless you stop it. Unless you stop it from ever coming in, or you deal with it so harshly that it serves as a barrier to anybody who wants to do it in the future. Because they think, gee, the last guy that did that got his hand chopped off. I think I'll leave the flower stand alone. Now, we don't need to be chopping off hands, but we have modern versions of that that we should be employing. And in some cases, they have been employed. And I'll show you on the other side the overwhelming success that this has led to all over the country. We're finding that the bare minimum application of law solves every problem across the board. It's amazing. It's obvious. And we're not doing it because liberals are retarded.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this, that's where it put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, This one's available right now at theelksandsword.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Welcome to the New World Order. This New World Order will be a new society and features lots of changes. This new society is great for some and not so great for others. In the New World Order, you will learn to love to live more modestly. You do not need to own things when you can simply lease them from your loving government-approved companies. We will transform our current pollution-ridden cities to something much more beautiful, and you will love it. Life in the New World Order will be different. In this new perfect world, cash will be illegal. Everyone will be issued a certain amount of global credits, which will be the only way you can buy and sell in the new society. These digital financial credits will also be tied to your social credit scores. Your credit scores will become your digital footprint and will be used to control your travel, what you can buy, where you can live, your energy usage, medical access. Everything you do will be in a government database. This is great. You will be issued more credits if you are good and promote our new system. Citizens will be given less global credits if they ever criticize the New World Order. If you are non-binary, a demented pedophile, can barely think, worship the devil, and help promote the New World Order, you will be greatly rewarded with extra credit each month. Since robots and AI will replace most jobs, you will have more time to play your favorite video games and watch more Netflix. This is so great. In the new society, parents will not be allowed to make decisions for their children. The government will raise your kids. Each child will be assigned a state-sponsored caseworker. These caseworkers will teach your kids that everything is racist, how to be queer or gender fluid, and teach them about all the different sex positions. If you object to your caseworkers teaching techniques, or if you object to the caseworker sleeping with your child, everyone in your family will be docked global credits, and your family could be relocated to a FEMA camp. Resistance is foolish. Meet Stacy. Stacy is one of our best caseworkers.
Hello.
Stacy could be in charge of one of your kids. How great would that be? In this new world order, it's important to follow the rules. Certain websites will be illegal.
Daddy, what is Infowars.com?
Bullcrap.
If you see something, say something. You as a citizen should report your neighbors if they aren't following the new rules. You have the power to make the world better. Caring, reporting, assisting, progressive, C-R-A-P, which stands for crap. You too can be a piece of crap and will be greatly rewarded. As we see here, this man misgendered a man lady. The police are dealing with him in the most fitting way. This offender seen here did not recycle his paper straws. If you don't like this, you will be sentenced to death by lethal injection.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Things will get so bad in our society. Your family will be begging for the New World Order. You will need the government in order to survive. In this new utopia, if you do not comply with our new laws and regulations, our totally not corrupt federal and local judges will make sure that you are given the proper penalties. Jail, financial ruin, death penalty, anything is possible. As we all adjust to the new normal, It's important to remember that. You do not matter. Do not complain about the hyperinflation. Do not complain about the higher taxes. And do not complain about Bill Gates' death panels. This is for the greater good. This is what I call happy making time. Let us all celebrate this new world order. The new world order. Please stay a while. We won't keep you for long. We'll keep you forever.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasTheStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at DallasTheStore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
I want unity under a code of freedom and liberty and justice and coming together and working together and being strong. And that's what InfoWars is. And that's why the enemies of humanity hate us so much, because we love God and God loves humanity. And I am a human supremacist. 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 That term will be the future war with the robots and the AI. What you're hearing now is the entire future and everything they tried to stop us from doing. Our supremacy will not end with this planet. We will people the stars. We will colonize. We will green dead worlds. We will go interdimensional. We will unlock the secrets of the universe. God has laid them out like Christmas presents for his children. And I am extremely honored to be in the fulcrum and the heart of the fight to bring our race, the human race, in a race for the future. And we will break the enemy. We will break the pedophiles. We will break the Satanists, because God already sent his own self down here to show us he could do it. God would never ask us to go through an obstacle course he wouldn't go through. And now we're going to go through what Christ did. And we're going to go through it, and we're going to be destroyed but reborn on the other side.
Powerful, powerful stuff from Alex Jones. You can find that on John Bound's Twitter. Let me make sure I have, because he's not at John Bound. I retweeted it at Newsbound. That's what it is, at Newsbound, News B-O-W-N-E. Of course, he does great work for InfoWars. He says, being old sucks. My rotator cuff is making it increasingly difficult to edit, but I'm about to rip the sling off and churn out a barrage of InfoWars reports nonstop with a vengeance. I will be flooding the system. It's so awesome. His lyrics like Harrison Bergeron, just like ripping off the sling, being like, we must wage war. Incredible. Do you think we're full of it? Like, do you think we're not the real deal? Like, this is just who we are. It's like crazy we all ended up here, but for good reason. It's just, again, I could just spend all show just disproving with a vengeance the lies about us. It's all disproven for anybody that wants to pay attention, look around. I got so many videos to go to. I do want to take your calls this hour, final hour. I understand, Trump is going to be live reading his, Bible verse about rebuilding the third temple. Very on the nose. And in line with everything else going on, you know, I went over this on the Sunday show on the Alex Jones show, but sort of connecting the dots between the mysterious scientists who have gone missing, 11 of them since last July, and the UFO disclosure phenomenon taking place as more UFO photos are being seen and congressmen are coming out talking about how disclosure is imminent and Trump saying it'll happen soon. And the war in Iran obviously playing into all of this, the energy shutdowns. It's there's something weird going on here, and I can't help but think that it's all deeply connected. And then at the same time that you have all of these things happening and you've got Pope going and doing some ceremony with Muslims saying, you know, we're not so far apart after all, and you've got Netanyahu and the Israelis claiming that Judeo-Christian is like a religion or something, as if these aren't two totally separate and distinct religions being shoved under one label. It's like all this stuff is happening at a really rapid clip. And if you're already sort of well-versed in what the sort of assumed plan of the globalist was, then you should really already know all of this. Like, in case you don't, in case you're not aware, the whole plot really is, well, at the end of the day, what they want, their ultimate goal is to live forever. Start with that. Start with the fact that humans, for all of time, since literally the Garden of Eden, have had this desire to live forever and the fear of death. And they'll do a lot of evil things in an attempt to circumvent death. And this is the most long-lasting and sort of intrinsic fear in human beings. You can look back to classical stories, legends, myths, and what do you see? You see vampires, right? You see people that live forever and are evil and they drink blood to do it because there's this understanding that we can't live forever. It's selfish to want to live forever. You have to consume other human beings to live forever. There's something like intrinsic about this. Or you can look at modern manifestations of the fairy tale or the myth. Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and what now before. Voldemort means run from death. The whole point of Voldemort's character was wanting to live forever. Kind of interesting now if you go back and you read Harry Potter. This is a total side tangent, but when you go back and you read Harry Potter as an adult, it's hilarious because Voldemort will be like the most despicable evil person. He's like killing people and like doing all this horrible stuff. And then it's like, because he was racist. And it's like, okay, is that really the bad? Is that really the worst thing? It's like this very weird thing where it's like he murders people and tortures people and kills babies because he's racist. And it's like all that other stuff is not that bad, but doing it for racism, that's what really makes him evil. You definitely get a sense of that. And I didn't notice that when I was growing up, but I did notice that, the second time I was reading through, and it kind of made the whole thing funny to me because in reality, the evilness is not like, and even that doesn't make sense. Like, you get, all right, I don't want to talk about Harry Potter, but it's like, I'm sorry, is the ability to do magic not incumbent on blood? I mean, is this not a real thing in the wizarding world? It's kind of a crazy thing to be all up in arms about. It seems kind of reasonable to me. They have the wizarding world be exclusive to wizard. But the point is that like, no, the real evil thing about Voldemort was the classic evil thing that we see everywhere all the time. It's the selfish desire to live forever and the ego to think that everybody else has to die and it's worth it because you get to live. Like that's the evil part. That's the evil thing. That's what compelled him to do the evil deeds. And racism's bad too. Okay. Never forget. Hilarious. All right. I'm getting off track. If you want to understand the globalists, you have to understand that their ultimate goal is to live forever and that they think they're on the cusp of living forever. They think, and they're probably right, that they now have biological processes as well as digital processes that will effectively grant people a form of immortality. But our modern world can't exist with immortality because we do have limited resources. There are a lot of them, but they are limited, and we can't have people born and never die. That doesn't make any sense. So only a small number of people will have access to the infinite life technology. So how do you define who those people are? You have to create a bifurcated system. You have to create, on purpose, a neo-feudal system in which an elevated class is so far above the rest of humanity, the laws don't apply to them. Hell, the laws of physics don't even apply to them. They don't die. They'll live forever. They can do whatever they want. They'll rule the world. And they'll dangle immortality like a carrot to get everybody else to behave. That's their ultimate goal. That's actually what they believe that they are headed towards. Now, this is, in a very interesting way, sort of a completion, starting at the book of Genesis with the snake in the Garden of Eden, the serpent promising Eve that she would live forever and be like gods if only she would use her intelligence to follow the devil. And it connects to Revelation, where it shows the actual process of how this technology would be rolled out in order to create a world in which some people could live forever. And of course, once they create that, we believe that Jesus will basically come back and set the whole thing right again. But that is what they're pursuing. And they're pursuing it through multiple vectors, I guess you could say. And one of these is masonry. And masonry, their spiritual beliefs are all centered on two things: ancient Egypt and Solomon's Temple. Solomon's Temple, the rebuilt second temple, they want to rebuild. They want to rebuild the third temple, which of course would be not what a Christian would want to do, because the understanding is that sort of Christ is the third temple in any meaningful way. But the Masons are very obsessed with rebuilding the third temple. And they talk about it all the time, and all of their iconography is about that. You've got the two pillar thing. It's all centered on that ultimate goal, even if it was sort of seen as like a far-fetched. And the way Masons understand it is it's an allegory. You're building yourself as a man, but we understand it through the building of the temple. But it's like, no, we are actually being groomed into wanting to actually build the literal third temple, because the idea is that to create a world in which people can live forever, you need everybody subjugated in this bifurcated society. So you need the entire world under the control of one singular power structure. So they want that power structure to exist in Israel. Israel will be the capital of the New World Order. It will be the only sovereign nation. All other nations will have the lines between them dissolved, sort of through communism. So you sort of take the communism, the aspects of communism where you destroy national identity and you destroy national lines and you destroy free association and free trade for every nation except for Israel, which will be, you know, guaranteed existence forever. It will be superlative and the most important thing in the world. So combine sort of communism and the destruction of the nation state with the ultimate uplifting and importance of Zion as the capital of the world government. So you combine communism and Zionism, and you get globalism. And this has been pursued very resolutely for the last couple hundred years. And whether intended or not, and I think it was intended, but even if you don't believe in conspiracy and want to think it's all coincidence, it has worked out that World War I brought us the League of Nations and destroyed every royal family in Europe except for the British royal family, which had been taken over by the Rothschilds about 50 years previous. The Second World War created the UN and established the Bretton Woods Initiative, through which financial methods could be used to enslave entire countries through debt. And now we're on the cusp of World War III, where they intend to act like they're fulfilling a bunch of prophecies in order to trick Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews into thinking that they're a part of this apocalyptic war for the end of the world that'll get so devastating that everybody will be begging for it to stop, and they will provide the peacemaker in the form of the Antichrist. That is the ultimate plan. The reason they're obsessed with ancient Egypt is not only because there are secrets that they harbor from, you know, pre-flood secret technology, advanced civilizations that existed long before the ancient Egyptians. That's part of it. But the other part of it is that ancient Egypt was a society and a structure that could have possibly been permanent, but it certainly existed for 4,000 years without interruption. The ancient Egyptian culture went for 4,000 years without a single major change. The art style didn't change. The music style didn't change. The governance style didn't change for 4,000 years. So if you're looking to create a stable, permanent government construct that you could be immortal in and rule over for 1,000 years, you're looking to ancient Egypt for what that looks like. And what that looks like is a god king, a class of priests, and then everybody else. And of course, the real secret of Egypt at the time was it had the Nile, which provided for transportation. It's like literal magic, right? Like the Nile, the river flows in one direction, but the wind always blows in the other direction. So like you never need power. Like you either put up your sail and go the one direction, or you just take the sail down, you go in the other direction. Like it's the most amazing thing ever. It floods at exactly the same time to exactly the same height. It's amazing. And so what it provides is consistent sustenance, as well as the fact that it's surrounded by deserts, meaning it's not going to be hit by an outside force. So if you're a bad guy who wants to rule the world, you're going, this is the checklist we need. We can't be subject to nature and to the wiles of the weather. We have to have a food source that is consistent and dependable. So we need to have pigs raised in warehouses and pumped full of antibiotics. We can't be trusting on the, you know, old school way of just husbandry, normal animal husbandry. We have to mechanize all of it. We have to have no outsiders who are big enough and strong enough to destroy us. We have to have people who are happy to be entertained and distracted and stupid while we have a class of highly educated and propagandized priests who can administer all of it. So all of this, and you know, for our regular viewers, you should know all of this by now. If you don't, you've got some reading to do. For anybody that may be watching, you know, curious to look in and see if InfoWars bought The Onion, or if The Onion bought InfoWars. They didn't. Hi, I'm Harrison. I work for InfoWars, not The Onion. The Onion is stupid and not funny. So there's that. And I think you need to know this. I think you need to understand and just think about it yourself. Is this what's happening? Am I the crazy one? Now, I'm not the one who's talking about slaughtering red calves and rebuilding the third temple. That's Benjamin Netanyahu saying that, okay? I'm not the one reading a Bible verse about Solomon rebuilding the second temple as president of the United States, who calls himself a master builder and is currently engaged in sacrificing America for the sake, and I guess you could say on the altar of Israel, so that they can be built up into a superpower themselves. They're the ones doing this. They're the ones who are either, you know, weaponizing and pretending to fulfill certain prophecies or creating the conditions that people can be led to believe that this is some sort of apocalyptic act of God, when in reality it's just a bunch of scheming humans. And the reason I'm saying all this is because there's a bunch of other stuff that's happening right now as well. They've claimed to have just discovered Noah's Ark. Now, I'm a little bit confused by this because I remember reading about this in middle school. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that remembers? It was in middle school or high school. They claimed to have found Noah's Ark, and it was this. It was in a mountain in Turkey, and they did radar scans of it, and they found a big boat. I mean, this has been around for a while, so why is it hitting newspapers again? Unless this is a different one, but like I remember reading this. Is anybody else? So why are they treating it like it's new? High in the mountains of Turkey, a mysterious geological formation sits that some researchers believe could be the remains of Noah's Ark. According to the Bible, the massive vessel saved humanity of every kind of animal from annihilation during a catastrophic flood more than 4,300 years ago. Now, a team of American researchers working at the Durupanir Formation near Mount Ararat has uncovered evidence of hidden tunnels as described in the biblical account. So I guess they're saying they found hidden tunnels here. But this discovery of what they thought was Noah's Ark, this has been around for like at least 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. Unless I'm misremembering. But Mount Ararat, Turkey, this is all old. So why are they making a big deal out of it now? Apparently they found tunnels. But is it a coincidence that at the same time they're claiming to find this, they also now are claiming to have found the Ark of the Covenant from today on the Daily Mail? Ark of the Covenant's final resting place pinpointed by archaeologists as fresh search begins. And they say the location of a chest believed to contain the Ten Commandments has long been a mystery, but archaeologists may be close to finding the lost Ark of the Covenant. According to the Bible, the sacred relic was built by the Israelites shortly after fleeing Egypt. You mean the Jews? or the Israelites? Are those the same thing? Sorry, I'm confused here. They're not the same thing. Jews didn't exist until 400 years after Christ. But continuing, the sacred relic was built by the Israelites shortly after fleeing Egypt around the 13th century BC, with Moses placing the Ten Commandments inside. Historians believe the Ark was kept inside the Holy of Holies, the innermost chamber of Jerusalem's ancient temple, before vanishing during the Babylonian sack of the city in 586 BC. Now, archaeologist Dr. Chris McKinney has proposed the Ark could be hidden within underground spaces in the city of David, just south of Jerusalem's Temple Mount. I always thought it was in Ethiopia, but, or Mar-a-Lago. I guess it could also be in Mar-a-Lago. Yeah, Mar-a-Lago has a big, golden sample of, mock creation of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, so is anybody else a little bit suspicious? A little bit weirded out by this? They're like, oh, we found Noah's Ark. Oh, and the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, and by the way, we're going to rebuild the Third Temple, and Donald Trump is the Messiah, and he got his left ear pierced like in the prophecy, and now he's going to give a speech. We chose it randomly, but it happens to be about Solomon rebuilding the Third Temple. It's like all of this is contributing to the ultimate goal of using Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, certain sects of all three of these religions, to usher in the Antichrist and enslave the planet under a one-world government. I don't believe them, I guess, in a word you could say. I don't believe that they're finding all of this stuff. I don't believe that they're doing all of this stuff coincidentally. I think I believe it's all on purpose. And at the same time they're doing all of this, Israel is set to have a giant, the world's largest pride parade and celebration in what just so happens to be the exact place that Sodom and Gomorrah existed. That seems a little bit like a bad idea. I don't know. I'm no expert. But they're having the world's largest pride parade at the place most famous for God destroying it in a giant storm of fire because of how gay they were. And, of course, the tradition, the Christian tradition, is that the rainbow was God's. I guess the rainbow is about Noah. But the idea was that, you know, he wiped out the whole planet because of their sin, and then he put the rainbow saying, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. Of course, he says next time it'll be fire, and that'll be the end of the world. But basically, you know, he kind of felt bad. He's like, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to flood the whole planet again. And so in a way, by like waving the rainbow flag at Sodom and Gomorrah during a pride festival, it's kind of taunting God. It feels a little bit like you're taunting God and saying, you promised you wouldn't do anything, even if we're as bad as we were back then, you still can't do anything because you promise, as you wave this rainbow flag. I don't think it's a great idea, personally. But hey, you do you. I'll show you a video on the other side, and I'll open up for the phone lines for calls. But we know the location of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll get into this, too, because there's something you find when you read history, and if you actually are able to put things together, there's a lot of stuff that we know that we pretend we don't know. It's pretty interesting. This location of Sodom and Gomorrah is one of them. You look now and you find websites, it's like nobody really knows, and it's speculated to be around here. But I'll show you, there's a Bible from the 1800s that's like, here's Sodom, here's Gomorrah. Here's where they are. Here's how we know. Why do we pretend that we don't know that now? Anyway, we'll get into it on the other side, and I'll open up the phone lines for your calls. I do want to remind you once again that this is your last chance to get InfoWars products. After April 30th, they will be unavailable, and they're probably selling out right now. So, and I mean forever. So if you want official merchandise from InfoWars that says InfoWars with the logo, even if you want to just buy some to put off to the side as collector's items to sell in 50 years, you don't have long to do it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go there today. You're getting 20% off InfoWars products. On top of that, if you sign up for a supplement, which, again, TheAlexJonesStore.com, The Alex Jones Network, these are separate from InfoWars. These will continue into the future regardless of what happens with InfoWars. So if you want to order a product and put it on subscription, you know, it will continue to get delivered as long as The Alex Jones Store is around. And you get 50% off when you do that, as well as a free bottle of Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy, and you get a free gift in every order.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us.
Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at some breaking news here, and I can't find it confirmed, so I'm not gonna bring it to you. But I thought maybe we'd had another death in the UFO world, but I'm not gonna bring that up till I can get it confirmed. So, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm going to play a quick video here and then open the lines for your phone calls for this last segment of the broadcast. If you want to call, the number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Now, as I said before, there's a lot of very strange, like, biblical goings on, I guess you could say. They apparently found Noah's Ark. They're announcing that. They're also apparently announcing that they found the Ark of the Covenant, potentially. Donald Trump is reading a verse of the Bible tonight about rebuilding the third temple, or Solomon building the second temple. And in addition to all of that, on top of all of this, apparently Israel is holding a giant pride celebration, a gay pride event, specifically at the Dead Sea, which is the site of Sodom and Gomorrah. So I think this is a good sort of example for people who think that the modern state of Israel, created in 1948 by the Rothschilds, is the same Israel referenced in the Bible. I would say the modern Israel, it shares a lot more characteristics with the old Sodom and Gomorrah from the Hebrew Bible. I think they behave a lot more like them. Not that the Israel nation in the Bible wasn't constantly acting out and getting punished by God. That's sort of a regular cycle. Now they want you to think that the Jews being chosen people mean that they can't do anything wrong. They'll always have God's favor. Just reading the Bible as a regular person with an IQ of 70, you can tell that's not the case. God's constantly getting pissed at the Jews and, like, killing all of them. It happens quite a lot. Or in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, like, saving the one good guy and destroying all the rest. So that's, like, a very common thing, this idea that, like, Israel can do whatever it wants and not suffer the consequences. This is a very modern idea that is, again, I'd say it's abiblical. It's anti-biblical. There it is. Israel set to host Middle East's largest pride festival ever at the site of the Dead Sea, which just so happens to be the biblical location of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's watch.
I don't know if you know this, but in my Bible here that is in 1857, it's a vintage Bible, I just discovered that the scholars who left commentary in this Bible were sure where Sodom and Gomorrah was. So tell me why today, when you look up where Sodom and Gomorrah is, all they're going to tell you is that it's most commonly theorized to be on the eastern side of the Jordan or southwestern side of Israel, of the Dead Sea. Guys, I'm about to show you something that proves that they once knew without a question where Sodom and Gomorrah was, and that this is a miracle, the things that it says in here about where it is. Okay, let me show you. All right, so let's open it up. And there's some commentary here about Judea, Palestine, or the Holy Land. And it says, the Dead Sea is a name of modern date. The ancients call it the Lake of Asphalites, which means the Sea of Sodom, the Salt Sea. The Lake of Serbon, the Arabs name it. Baharat Lut, that is the Sea of Lot. You guys, it is about 50 miles in length and 10 in breadth. The lofty mountains of the country of the Moabites are on the eastern side and discharge it into the waters of Arnon and the Jarrett. On the west and south, it is bounded by very high mountains also. It is likewise on the west that the brook Cedron, which rises at Jerusalem, empties into this sea. We are informed that this vast lake was covered formerly with fruit trees and abundant crops, and that from the bosom of the earth, now buried under its waters, arose the superb cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Also Adma, Zeboim, and Segor. No plants of any kind grow in this lake. The bottom of it is black, thick, and floated. Branches of trees which fall therein become petrified in a little time. The Dead Sea produces a kind of bitumen which may be found floating on the surface like large lumps of earth. This bitumen is a sulfurous substance mixed with salt. It is as brittle as black pitch. is combustible and exhales while burning a strong and penetrating smell. The ancient Arabs used it for smearing and embalming their dead to preserve them from perishing. The mountains near this sea produce a kind of black stone, which when polished has a beautiful luster. Guys, do you realize how amazing this is, that this so clearly states that they were sure where Sodom and Gomorrah is, you guys? And the fact that it talks about the trees being petrified and that it used to be used to embalm the dead, and the sulfur that is on the surface and the smell that comes from it, the salt within it, it all adds up to the story of Lot and his wife. This is how easy history can be erased from people's knowledge and minds. Because if they just stop teaching it, stop telling you about it, and start removing it from the books, this is how quickly people just won't even know information like this unless you find these old books. And we're left without context. We're left without the scholars who knew these things. This is mind-blowing to me. All right, let me know if you knew anything about this, or if you live near the Dead Sea, if you have other information about this, I want to hear about it, because this is really interesting knowledge that we need to talk about and share with each other. All right, God bless.
So there you go. I tend to believe it. And I'll go out to your calls here, because we got a lot of calls, not much time. But it is interesting. The other sort of parallel with this is the Sea Peoples. If you don't know, the Sea Peoples basically ended the Bronze Age. There was something called the Bronze Age Collapse, where all these big civilizations basically got wiped out in a very short amount of time. Nobody knows really what caused it, but at that time and contributing to the collapse were these people called the Sea Peoples, and nobody knows where they came from, and they just showed up on boats and killed everybody and left, and the only people that could resist them, that did resist them and did sort of defeat them, were Egypt by giving them land to settle on. That's who became the Philistines, like Goliath, who David killed. He was one of these Sea Peoples, I think. I think I have that right. But regardless, I was reading a thing that was like, nobody knows who the Sea Peoples are, but it, you know, would have happened around the time, if it was real, that the Trojan War occurred. And it's like, oh, okay, so it was the Trojans. So you're saying it was the Trojans is what you're saying. This, you're just saying it's a coincidence. So let's see. Greece goes to war with Troy for 10 years. Troy falls, and then you have a raft of stories we still have today about all of these Greeks and Trojans traveling all over on boats, like the Aeneid with Aeneas, a Trojan prince, leaving Troy and going to the Italian peninsula and founding what would become Rome. Or the Odyssey, where you've got Odysseus traveling around, visiting a bunch of different islands and stuff. And at this same exact time period, you have the Sea Peoples showing up all over the Mediterranean and taking over. But the historians are like, we have no idea who they are. It's like, it's the Trojans. They're the Trojans. But there's like some weird thing where they don't want to give any credence to like what we now interpret in the modern world as myths. And for a while, they acted like Troy wasn't real. And they, like, for a long time, people said that Troy wasn't a real thing. And then some German dude found it in like the 1800s. He was just like, well, according to all the references, it should be right here. And they went and dug up. There it was, giant city. It was Troy. So all these things are real. The Bible is real. The Odyssey is real. The Aeneid is real. This stuff is real, whether you like it or not. And it's funny because it slots perfectly into history. But now when you hear people teach history, they'll completely ignore that stuff, and it makes it less informative. We don't know where Sodom and Gomorrah is, really, because they did in the 1800s. We don't know who the Sea Peoples are, really, because they did in the 1800s. It's the Trojans. They were the Trojans. That's who it was. It's not that complicated. All right. Let's go out to your calls. But it's a phenomenon that I don't understand, that like we lose history for some reason because people just don't want it known, I guess. Let's go out to your calls. Rob in Oregon is called in about this topic. A biblical follow-up. Go ahead, Rob. You're on the air.
Harrison, I'm going to be quick. The Spirit touched me to call you. There's no coincidences when it comes to Yeshua HaMashiach, the one everyone calls Jesus, and I know you know that. My life has been one of spiritual revelation, and the times that we're in right now, there is revelations that he wants me to share with you. I thought it was going to be Alex, but it's you, and there's no coincidences when it comes to his timing. You're talking about all these things. I have so many things that have been revealed to me, and now it's time to speak of them. So I want to give my phone number to you. I want your staff to take it down, and then I want you to take it to Yeshua HaMashiach, the convincer of all men, and he is telling me right now that you will call me. We are supposed to talk. It's time to talk about the things that I know. And you'll be astonished, but I want him to be the convincer. And that's it.
All right. Well, stay on the line, and my producer will get your phone number. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Can you give us anything? Can you give us a hint here of you know what you feel called to tell me?
Well, let's see. I want the spirit to speak. The spirit says the fallen ones are in control. They are created beings. We are made in his image, and they are physical. They're in these men. Trump, I believe, has been taken over by them, or that he's afraid of them, but he's definitely on that side now. And I voted for this man. I wish, but it's been revealed. But here's the thing. There are 200 impact craters on planet Earth that cannot be explained by science. Now, I'm not going to go into the other things, but there is a building that was erected in Karakistan called the Pyramid of Peace. In the capstone, like the capstone on the dollar bill that's floating above it, in Karakistan, in this building, in the capstone, there is a table. And around that table, there are 200 chairs. Now, I wonder who meets there. It's just not Antarctica anymore, where all the royalty oligarchs, Nephilim, and the ones that follow him by will go. But now, the Pyramid of Peace. So anyway, Harrison, it goes a lot deeper. I know that the spirit will reveal what we're supposed to talk about, but I have been given a lot of understanding. I have been to the river of life. I have been anointed by the oil. I know it's there. My life is not my own. My life is his, and his will be done. I am a chosen one, and I know that. And it's between him and you, me and him. But we are supposed to speak to one another.
Well, I'd love to hear what you have to say. Thank you very much for the call, and stay on the line, and my producer will get your phone number. Thank you for that. Let's go to Patriot Independent next. We're just going to the calls in the order they have been received. Patriot Independent in Virginia. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. First, I want to say I appreciate you sharing my post about the Virginia no vote. If you're in Virginia and you haven't already voted, you got, I would say, about 15 minutes before the polls close. Vote no. We got to stop this gerrymandering, this tyrant governor. Stop her right in her tracks.
Second Absolutely. Thing, thanks for calling in. That's funny. I did that during a commercial break today. Yeah, get out and vote no, Virginia. Stop Scamburger's authoritarian gerrymandering. Today, you got to go vote no on the proposed constitutional amendment. That's great. So what have you called in about?
Yep. Second thing is, I don't know if you remember, but a few months ago, I called in about an idea I had for Alex's final show. I know you guys said that the old studio was still there, and I thought it would be cool since his show started in that building, in that studio, it would be cool to send it off in that studio, started there so it should end there. I figured, the nostalgic badassery of it for the OG supporters like myself, it would just be really cool.
We'll do something. We're going to work on stuff. We'll do a lot next week, and we should do a big studio tour just to document this and tell everybody about it. The studio that he originally in still exists, but it's the podcast studio now. It's not set up for broadcast, but I do like that idea. And just stay tuned, because we'll be doing a lot of stuff to sort of accomplish two things. We want to, of course, commemorate and memorialize the incredible and really unparalleled success that InfoWars has experienced, the unparalleled impact we've had on the world. We have to sort of look back and pat ourselves on the back for what we've accomplished, while also building up, excitement for what's comes next, and understanding that this is not so much the end of a phase as the beginning of a new one. So we'll be doing lots of stuff to show our appreciation for the audience and the success that they've helped us to achieve, and this place that has been the beating heart of the operation the whole time. Thank you for the call, Patriot Independent. Let's go to Chris, also in Virginia. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Hey, okay. I thought I was going to hear a little noise. Hey, Harrison, just want to say I love you and Alex and the network, all the staff, everybody there. Just absolutely love you guys. You guys never sold out. I've been listening since 1999. Ooh. And just love you guys, man. Wow. And I pretty much agree with absolutely everything you say, which is pretty weird.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, man. We love you, too.
But look, hey, what I called about was, look, are we allowed, can we troll the new people? Can we troll the hell out of them?
You have my permission, sir. Yes, troll anybody you want. The thing is, are there new people? Is the Onion going to take us over? I don't even know if that's going to happen. But if they do, sure. Yeah, you're allowed to troll them. I give you permission.
Thank you, because we're going to make those people wish they never lived. And by the way, I hope you guys also, like, troll the hell out of them with little pieces and stuff you do about whatever the hell crap trash they're going to put out. So thanks, Harrison. Love you.
Love you. Thank you very much for that. And look. We'll probably completely ignore them. To be honest with you, we probably will not care what they're saying or doing. They'll sort of operate in their own little bubble for a couple months, and then they'll go away and pretend it never happened. That's my official prediction, but you're allowed to troll them all you want. All you want. I think if the Onion is so interested in buying us, we haven't even met. Come on down. This is an official invite. I want you to clip this out and send it to them. Tag them in it. Ben Collins, Tim Heidecker, you are hereby invited. Come on the show. Come in the studio. Come hang out. Come meet us. These people that you demonize, you know, us patriots that you think are just the worst people ever. We're constantly lying. We're constantly full of crap. We're so hateful and bigoted and vicious. Come hang out. Come meet us. Come say hi. Come see if your delusional worldview can withstand an interaction with reality. Come see it for yourself. Come find out for yourself who it is that you are trying to destroy, that you're mocking and reveling in our destruction. Come look at us face to face, man to man. You are invited. You are hereby invited. And frankly, if you don't take it, I gotta wonder about what you're really about. Because as I understand it, you guys are so cool. I mean, you guys are like, you're hanging out with Hollywood people. I mean, if you came here, you'd probably make us look like a bunch of rubes, probably. Probably be really good for you. You'd probably come here and all of your presuppositions would be confirmed and we would reveal ourselves to be a bunch of, you know, hillbilly liars from Texas that don't know anything and are just making stuff up. It'll all be confirmed. You'll look like geniuses, you know. You'll make us look like idiots. It'd be a great way to start your new operation. So nothing to be afraid of. Come on down. Come on down. Come hang out. We'll take you out to dinner. We'll go shooting. You'll get some barbecue. You'll get to hang out in the studio. We'll interview you right here next to me. We'll talk about, you know, a bunch of stuff. It'll be fun. It'll be really fun. You're invited. Tim Heidecker, Ben Collins. Come on down. Hit me up. DMs are open. What are you scared of? Come on down. It'll be fun. Let's go now to Michael in Ohio. Michael in Ohio. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, your buddy Michael Taylor at Gonna Get You on X. Just want to say, I know we don't got much time. I agree with you 100%. I think Trump has been in on this from the beginning. I've voted for him 3 times. Like, he totally smoke and mirrored me. But my true point for calling is that what if the Jewish faith is actually the Bene Gesserit from the novel Dune? What if Christ's movement was truly authentic and real, but they hijacked it and through their printing presses co-opted the movement to fashion it in a way that they could eventually bring to fruition what is happening now, the end of times, you know, the end of the world, just everything to that degree? We only know what we're told. We only know what we read. And unfortunately, after a couple few generations, we lose passed on knowledge. That's one thing I do give credit to the Jewish people about. They are very good at passing knowledge from generation to generation without writing it down. I feel like they could have easily co-opted this movement to pursue a war that removes all religion from this planet, to enslave us by Satan.
Well, listen, that is absolutely what they're doing. I didn't even get to it today. I meant to talk about it a lot, but, you know, Alan Dershowitz just became a Republican for the first time. And it's like just total confirmation of everything I've been saying for the last couple of years. He literally writes this letter where he says, I'm a lifelong Democrat. You know, I still am Democrat, essentially. I still disagree strongly with the GOP on abortion, the separation of church and state, immigration, healthcare, and taxes, among other things. Okay, so literally everything. Okay, so every major topic, he is still a flaming liberal leftist Democrat. But, and he explicitly says, because Democrats don't like Israel, I'm now becoming Republican. That's New MAGA. This is a distillation of New MAGA down to its most perfect primordial form. Is like, I'm still a Democrat in every way that's meaningful, but I support Israel, so now I'm a Republican, and this is the Republican Party. So literally, it's like, these people, he hates the Republican Party. He's always been against the Republican Party. He's trying to hurt the Republican Party. He just wants Israel to benefit. So he's switching sides. It's the most, like, cynical and just in-your-face move you could possibly imagine. It's just completely insane. So yeah, that's absolutely happening. Now the Bene Gesserit in particular, according to the author of Dune, was based off the Jesuits. It's why Jesuit. It's literally the Jesuits, a secret society using the church's cover to basically manipulate people. So he actually based off the Jesuits, but certainly they have elements of the Talmudic Jews. I would say a more accurate association would be the Foundation, from the Foundation. Go read the Foundation. Everybody should read the Foundation. Okay. I'm not going to say it again. Everybody needs to read the Foundation if you care about what's going on in the world today. It's not a fantasy novel. It's an instruction manual. And with that, we go to our last caller. We got 2 minutes left. Sean in New York. Go ahead. Sean, you're on the air.
Captain Clockhart, Port of Duty. Sir, listen, I believe that Trump is going to up on immigration so much that he's going to actually offer these 20 to 50 million that have crossed the border permanent citizenship if they fight in one of these wars that they're going to throw them in, because there's not enough people to fight the wars, and you got all the robots, and the robots need to be controlled by people, so you know.
Yeah, that could certainly be the case. I actually have a video from yesterday that I didn't get to play yet, but Canadians are recruiting people that don't speak English or French. So there's now people that just like only speak Hindu in their army. So yeah, and we already do it where you can get citizenship by fighting for us, but I don't know. It's like, well, what's worse? You know, taking illegal immigrants and saying you can be a citizen if you go fight for us and survive your deployment, or saying you have to go fight for your country, but in the meantime, we're bringing in an illegal to replace you. You're going to go die in a battlefield, and then, you know, some dude from a different country is going to take your spot. Because that's what's happening in Ukraine. Ukraine just announced that they're opening up the floodgates to, you know, infinite migration from Africa, because they literally have killed an entire generation of Ukrainians. So they're literally replacing them with Africans. So, you know, I was saying yesterday, why don't they just send the Africans to fight? That seems more reasonable to me. But I don't know. They both seem like horrible options. Frankly, I think we should not have war. What if we tried peace instead? There's an idea. There's an option. Thank you so much for your calls. Thank you for supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com. And stay tuned, folks, as we're shaking things up. Make sure you're subscribed to us on X so you get the latest updates at Real Alex Jones at InfoWars.
I'm very pleased to announce two new great products at thealexjonesstore.com that will 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at thealexjonesstore.com. They're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular, long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods, everywhere else, because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, thealexjonesstore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, last up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill. a strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. It's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to, say, 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Big League and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. I'm having trouble being able to kind of ease into non-work mode, and this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.